Good afternoon and welcome. It's Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVellantes. They are already beginning their Christmas and holiday vacation, so I will be with you from now through the holidays until they will be back July 3rd. They're taking the first 6 months of the year off. They have a good contract, Violetta. You need their agent because they started their days off today, and they don't come back till right after the 4th of July. It's very, very exciting to be Ro and Anna. No, they'll be here. I'll be here through January 3rd, so it's very, very nice to be here. Good to see Violetta, who I see on the holidays, but then Kim and Kevin. Kim, I see during the holidays when I'm in.
Kevin is
always off jetting about, doing something. I don't know. I follow his feeds just so I can live vicariously through his Miller Lite and golf consumption. It's very exciting.
That about sums it up.
Wow, he really does follow you.
You eat at wonderful places. You play golf in beautiful settings. And you really should have a Miller Lite tattoo and or sponsorship for your life.
You know, it's just social media. So you just highlight the bright spots of your life.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
And so that I just try to highlight some of the cool things going on. But the rest of it is just whatever.
I know. People will say to me, boy, you do a lot of stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I post pictures of stuff that I do.
Right. The best things in your life, right? The rest, right. The mundane stuff, you just leave out.
Yeah, you don't need to see me feeding the dogs or walking around the house in my underpants. You don't need to see any of that. You want the exciting stuff. Oh, what's Brian Noonan up to tonight? Nothing. Sitting in his chair,
right?
You know, thinking about the future.
But then you post a picture from like 2 days before and everyone's like, wow, that Brian Noonan, man.
That's right.
He must have had a great meal tonight.
Oh, my goodness. I'm always out doing something. Let's address this sweater since it's come up and our friends on CLTV are seeing it, and John mentioned it from the minute John saw me, he mentioned this sweater, and it is, you will agree, Kevin, I agree, it's loud.
It's festive.
Thank you, Violetta, and it fits that ugly sweater theme, or the crazy holiday sweater theme, because this giant flamingo has an eye that looks like it wants to kill you.
I like it.
Is it one of those movable eyes?
One doesn't
Thank
move.
God.
But it almost is one that, you know how some pictures you think the eyes are following you? That's what this is, even though it doesn't actually move.
It's always looking at you.
Yeah. It's
and where would you purchase something that...
My good friends at Target Online. Go online to the Target website. My wife got one where an orangutan is trying to put a star on the top of a tree. It is hers... I think hers is better than mine, and yet this sweater won me second place at a contest last Saturday night.
Well, who was first?
My mom.
You're kidding. What was hers?
Hers was... not to besmirch my mom. She deserved a win. But she's 80 and used a cane, so that garners
she
you
got
some
the sympathy
votes.
Card?
Yes, she got the vote. She had a nice reindeer kind of sweater on, and it was fine. And she, I will say, I must get some of my theatricality from her, because she worked it. She worked the crowd in this place to get the win. She actually said to me at the table before she got up, she goes, should I use my cane? Yeah, go. Yeah, use the cane.
It wasn't just family. It was more than just family.
No,
voting.
The only family was my mom, myself, my wife, and my daughter. Everybody else in the bar was strangers.
It's a savvy veteran move by your mother.
Right, Kevin? She knows that's
She's
what
She's been around. She knows how to win.
You know how to. That's it. It's that winner's spirit, the eye of the tiger.
Yeah.
Or the eye of the reindeer.
She didn't buy shots for everybody before you got
she
there.
She did not. And she was not liquored up either, which was, you know. So, saying something. So she got the big win, and I came in second. But I figure I'm wearing now a prize-winning sweater. The first graders were very, as I mentioned when I was talking to John, the first graders today at school were not as kind as some other people with their comments on the sweater.
Well, you definitely win amongst us since we're not even participating.
Well, it wasn't Spirit Week here at WGN, was it?
Well, we didn't know. You should have told us.
Well, I don't want to impose my fashion beliefs on anybody else. I don't want anybody to feel they have to wear some wacky clothing just because of some, you know, Spirit Week nomenclature that I throw on these days.
I miss Spirit Week.
It's been pretty Spirit Week-y here.
Yeah, we had a big potluck yesterday.
Potluck.
Today should be bathing suit week because it's so hot in here. We've all been taking our sweaters
off. Oh, is it really?
Oh, yeah.
See, so far, so good down here. But, yeah, we had Spirit Week. So Monday, what was Monday? I forget.
Monday was pajama day.
Yeah, yesterday was pajama day.
I love pajama day.
I do too, but I got to tell you, it's really hard to teach in pajamas because all you want to do is lay down, and all the kids want to do is lay down.
Yeah, they're like, I'm in my jammies.
Yeah, right. And we let them bring stuffed animals, so they're all on the carpet, like for phonics or whatever we're doing, and they have stuffed animals in their pajamas. It's like romper room, and nobody wants to do anything. They don't care about initial. No, we had Tropical Day on Tuesday. Yeah, Tropical Day was fun. I was drunk, but that's, you know, I don't tell the administration that.
Plus, no, you shouldn't.
Well, no, you're frowned on if you start drinking at 7:30. But, you know, I don't know why.
I'm telling you. You know,
I just figured I was on like a Pacific Rim time zone. So
just
I was
getting
good.
Into the Spirit Week vibe Spirit here. Week.
Monday was hard because it was Winter Wonderland, so we were all wearing flannels and hats and stuff. By about 9:30, I had to take sweat was pouring down my face. So Winter Wonderland, Tropical Day, then it was Pajama Day, and today was Ugly Sweater Day.
Nice. Yeah. We used to have Wacky Wednesday.
Oh, that's
nice.
You'd
have to dress up crazy.
My daughter used to have Crazy Hair Day. Did you ever have to do that? Came where your kids had to do up their hair and like spray paint it and stuff.
Yeah, we had that.
So we had crazy
backwards hat or backwards clothes day.
Yes.
You wear your clothes backwards.
I wish we had had that.
Jersey Day was always my favorite.
Yeah, Jersey Day.
Oh, sure.
Was big.
Those were always good. I can't think of any more.
I think back
that
in the day we used to have like boys dressed like. No, I don't know actually.
No.
Well, then also
that's just
didn't 2017, you have a day where
though.
You wore like your school colors or your school stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah. But we do that. They do that every Friday in the district
that's
I'm in.
Nice.
So every Friday,
nice.
Not only is it Jeans Day, which makes, you know, Fridays that much more.
Are they in uniforms?
No, they're in. No. See, that's the thing. The kids wear jeans and shorts and sweats every day. It's mostly for the teachers. And you've never seen a group of adults who can wear jeans pretty much any time they want get so excited, myself included, because Friday is Jean Day.
My son had that at his office. If you made a donation to whatever charity they were doing that week, then if you made a donation, you could wear jeans on Fridays.
That's how my wife says she has to pay to wear jeans.
Yeah.
We get to wear them for nothing just because we're toiling with the youth of tomorrow or the youth of today, the leaders of tomorrow. Which makes me sometimes cry for tomorrow. All right, we're going to talk to Ben Bradley about some of the big local news stories. We'll do that in just a minute. Brian Noonan in for Ro and Anna. A lot going on as we get ready to go into the big holiday weekend. A man who sees it all, he covers it all. As he approaches his one-year anniversary at WGN, Ben Bradley is with us, the pride of Homewood Flossmoor. Hi, Ben.
I did not realize you were tracking my anniversary here at WGN.
Ben, I try to track everything just in case I ever need some sort of incriminating evidence on anyone.
Can you track when my wedding anniversary is so I don't forget that?
Sure. Would you like me to send you push notifications?
Yes.
Like on your cell?
Yes.
Hey, Ben, don't forget your mom's birthday's today.
That's a great idea.
Sure.
I love it.
Personal concierge.
Yeah.
Look at us. We just made $1 million.
Exactly. Except nobody really wants us to be the gift buyers.
No, that's probably true.
Yeah.
That's the, you know, based on my fashion sense, nobody wants me sending anything to them. Are you getting ready? Are you getting ready for the holidays? Are you all set?
Yeah, I actually think I've bought every gift I need to. I think at least one of them will be a hit.
I'm not sure I'm happy with that ratio, but okay.
Yeah, no, you know, as long as you score one, you're doing okay. And I have to admit, I bought one of those after seeing a demonstration here in the newsroom a couple weeks ago. Marcus Leshock was testing out this virtual reality system.
Ooh.
It's a Star Wars system, so you can get into, you know, lightsaber battles and whatnot. And so he was kind of testing it out in the newsroom, and I tried it out. I was like, oh, I got to get this.
Nice.
I mean, for my kids.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, unwrap that one first.
Exactly.
Come on.
Dad'll
help you.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, I mentioned earlier it's supposed to be the busiest travel day.
Mm-hmm.
And at O'Hare today, there was a little labor trouble. We had the workers at restaurants walking off at noon. They were supposed to be picketing. Any update on that?
We do have a crew out there. I've not heard an update from O'Hare as to whether or not that's impacting things. Sometimes that can be a little hard for us to gauge because most of the restaurants or whatnot are inside security where our cameras can't go. But as you know, anything that complicates an already stressful and complicated time at the airport's not so good.
Well, the last thing you want to do when you're trying to get to a plane, and as you mentioned, already stressful, is then have to cross a picket line.
Right.
You know?
Right. The second to last thing you want to do is pay $7 for a bottle of water.
Well, exactly. Yeah. The whole eating thing at the airport is troublesome. And you got to take out that second mortgage. That'll put a crimp in your Christmas shopping if you have to eat at the airport. This morning, Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson came out and he was touting some new lower crime numbers, but then he had to couch it a little bit because while some of the things in Englewood were a little promising, overall the numbers are still not great, right?
Well, the numbers as of a week or so ago when I last pulled them had murders down for the year 14% compared to the same period last year, shootings down 21%. So on their face, you know, that's positive news. But you also have to remember that a year ago, the numbers were exceptionally high.
Yeah.
So it's improvement over a bad situation.
Yeah, well, there's still 600 killings so far this year in the city, 780 last year at this time. But
right.
So yeah, those numbers, that sounds good. Okay, we had 180 less people killed. Criminal sexual assaults went up. Some of the other numbers.
Carjackings.
Yeah, carjackings went up. So it's not great, but they're putting some new, they started some new technology with a, where they can sense a gunshot within seconds, and now it goes right to an app on officers' phones, so they're able to try to get to these scenes quicker. And they're saying in Englewood, where it initiated, that that's part of the reason things seem to be getting incrementally
right.
better there.
And that technology is now being spread to police districts in several other neighborhoods. They cite it as being very positive. But keep in mind, you know, these ShotSpotter cameras are not new. They've been around for, goodness, I think I've been reporting on them for a decade or so. And when they were first brought out, they were heralded as, you know, hey, we're going to instantly know when there's a shooting.
Right.
We're going to be able to respond to it quicker, and it's going to help. It's going to help. Obviously, in the last 10 years, they've dramatically improved the software on it. They've improved their ability to get that information quickly to officers. So if they want to say that that's what's helping down in Englewood and some other neighborhood, you know, that's outstanding. But you know, in terms of suggesting that cameras by themselves are going to be the solution, you know, especially when you have a police force that's down in numbers. I know they say that they're, you know, trying to build back up the numbers. You know, it becomes a tough argument, especially when you think about all the things that they don't tell you about with the cameras and with the technology. And that is, you know, how many times have we been to a scene where there's a camera up that seems like it would be in a great position to, you know, to catch a crime, to
right.
catch a criminal, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, if the maintenance isn't there on those cameras, you can mount them anywhere you
right.
want, and it doesn't do any good at all.
And that's not to disparage the program. Look, they've
sure.
got to try, and for years in the city, they have tried kind of a let's throw everything we can in, at it and see what sticks. And if they're seeing some positive results from, you know, the upgraded technology, that's great.
But it, you wonder how, okay, we put the cameras up, and maybe we're going to bring some incidents down in a certain area, but then you go right across the Dan Ryan from
right.
Englewood, you go into Grand Crossing, and they're up. They have 44, they've had 44 murders so far this year. That's like four more, five more than last year at this time. You were still, as Chicago is still exceeding national averages on for crime statistics. So, you know, cautiously optimistic with some of these, but you can understand the police department wanting to tout some of the good numbers, you know,
right.
and not just dwell on the bad.
Yeah, and that's been the rub, you know, whether it's cameras, whether it's extra officers, is this whole push and pull of crime. You know, this is a living, breathing, moving phenomenon, and to put up a stationary camera and not think that the bad guys are going to move a block away and do their drug deals is, you
yeah.
know, to not understand the, you know, the pulse of this city
exactly.
and other cities.
Well, you know, you guys will be keeping an eye on that. What are the big stories that you'll be covering tonight on Channel 9?
Well, for the second time in as many days, we had a guy shot at a cell phone store. This apparently was an attempted robbery. The owner of the cell phone store pulled out a gun and shot the would-be robber. Our Patrick Elwood is covering that. Julian Cruz looking at some new lawsuits filed as they relate to the opioid epidemic. We are keeping an eye on holiday traffic. Amy Rutledge is going to have that. And Aaron Ivory doing a story that we were all in the newsroom here just trying to figure out. So they're called the Pulmonaires.
Okay.
As in, what would that be, pulmonology?
Sounds like a drum and bugle corps.
Well, these are a group of older folks all with breathing issues.
Okay.
And they have formed a music group.
Huh.
You got to hear this one to believe it.
Yeah, we'll definitely be watching. And in the spirit of me stalking you, your alleged homecoming date has texted in.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about that at another time. But wants us to ask if you went to homecoming. We can do that.
Yes.
We can do that
on the advice of counsel.
Yes, it's better. You didn't have a pass before you started working a year ago at WGN. Everything else we just you know, we gloss over. Ben, thank you. We will talk to you again tomorrow. We'll be watching tonight on WGN. Always a pleasure.
Sounds good. Good to be with
Take
you.
Take care. That's Ben Bradley. You see him on WGN. You know where Ben Bradley is. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time. WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVellantes. They have started their holiday vacation. And I know the House of Representatives, the Senate, our government wants to start their vacation, but they have to wait because despite the fact that we saw the president and GOP leaders yesterday celebrating the new tax bill that they signed, we have a potential government shutdown. The deadline is tomorrow. Where do things stand? I don't know. Allie Rogan knows. She's an ABC News correspondent. She's on Capitol Hill. Allie, thanks for taking some time this afternoon.
Hey, my pleasure, Brian.
So, the GOP, not only are they trying to push this through, but they're having trouble reuniting or uniting rather their own party because they still have some Republicans who are saying, we don't like this new plan. What exactly is the problem with the new plan that the GOP is trying to push forward?
Well, there are some disagreements over how much money to put into a disaster relief bill. There are some ideological disagreements in the Senate with part of this reauthorizes the controversial 702. This is the surveillance program, part of the FISA law that allows the United States to surveil non-Americans overseas. So they don't like some of these things. There's also big ideological differences in some of the spending levels. But look, the reason why they're passing this short-term spending bill, we don't expect the government shutdown, even though we're getting really close, too close for comfort, frankly. The government's not going to shut down. They're going to pass this four-week continuing resolution. It funds the government at current levels. Then they're going to come back, and this ideological battle is going to start all over again as they seek a bill that seeks to fund the government for a little bit longer.
Well, there was a lot of discussion about funding for defense. That was some of the Republicans saying, well, we want some more, some saying that we want less. Democrats saying they want less. Where's the discussion on that part so far?
Right. So this is one of the things that they're basically punting until January. Okay. Republicans want to significantly increase military spending. Democrats say, well, if you do that, then you've got to increase domestic spending by the same amount. Republicans say that's not what's needed here. We need to fund the military. President Trump obviously is doing a lot of talk and wants to beef up the military capabilities of the United States. And there's just big ideological differences here. You've also got within the Republican Party itself, you've got the defense hawks who want to double down on military spending, and then you've got the deficit hawks. Even though they just passed a $1.5 trillion tax bill,
right,
these are guys who want to make cuts wherever possible, and so they want to take more of a fine-tooth comb approach to military spending. So these fights, we're going to get this spending bill today, but stay tuned for this revised spending fight come January when they all come back.
Well, and as you mentioned the disaster relief, and that you've got leaders from Texas, Florida, all the other states that were impacted, Puerto Rico, all the other states that were impacted by hurricanes and storms, as you're saying, hey, wait, you can't be cutting that money. We need that disaster relief money. So it's easier for everybody to just say, all right, well, let's just keep things moving for a couple weeks, and then we'll talk about this more. The way it stands now, is there any scuttlebutt on where some of these issues that they're putting off for 4 weeks might fall when they get back in session?
There's a little bit. I mean, one of the reasons that they're pushing it off for these 4 weeks is because there are behind-the-scenes conversations going on about doing some of these things. Disaster relief, even though the House is voting today on a disaster relief bill, it's probably not going to pass the Senate, and therefore that's going to get punted until next year. And why? Because Democrats say they want more money for Puerto Rico, that states on the mainland like Texas and Florida are funded at higher levels than Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. They don't like that. So rather than pass this bill, they're not going to pass any new money, and they're just going to wait until the following year. Democrats and Republicans are also debating a major issue, you might recall, the DACA fix.
Mm-hmm.
This is a program that President Trump says he's going to cancel to allow the children of immigrants who came here with their parents to stay here in the United States. Democrats and Republicans have been negotiating behind the scenes now for weeks, and they say they're actually pretty close to a bipartisan deal. So we expect that in January, this extended government funding is going to give them enough time to get to that bill and then vote on that when they come back.
So just to recap, you said you think this short term, what you're hearing is this short term deal is going to get passed. So we're going to avert the crisis of the shutdown.
That's exactly right. There will not be a government shutdown. In fact, we expect the House to be voting in about an hour and a half on their government funding bill. Again, this is the short-term one. This is just kicking the can down the road, but it's going to keep the lights on in the federal government. The House votes soon. As soon as the House is done, the Senate will go, and then everybody gets out of town until the new year.
And hopefully cools off a little bit, and they come back a little more reasonable and can work a little more together. Is any of the argument over this short-term funding package having to do with the budget vote or the tax vote the other day? Is there some residual pain from the Democrats, because we know everything has devolved into it's all party now?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think there is definitely an effort from Democrats to try to get some sort of political win during this battle over government funding. They know that Republicans now have a big political win under their belt, and now they have to go sell it to the American people and convince them that it's going to benefit them. But for now, it is seen as a big plus on the board for Republicans. But here's the thing about the government spending bill. Unlike the tax bill, which only required a simple 51-vote majority in the Senate, Republicans need some Democrats to vote and pass a government funding bill. So that gives Democrats a little bit of leverage that they didn't have during the tax bill, and they're exploiting that for all it's worth.
Oh, sure.
They're looking at things like extending the Children's Health Insurance Program, programs for veterans, the disaster funding, which they may revisit in January. So I wouldn't say that it's a direct political response to taxes, but they know that they can extract some concessions for Republicans as they debate these long-term government funding issues.
Well, they're trying to, Democrats and other lawmakers are trying to get, you mentioned the veterans, a $2.1 billion fix for this expiring program that helps veterans get care outside of the VA. So you're right. If you can horse trade something, oh, well, listen, we've got the votes. You want it. You got to do this. It'll be very interesting. So good news, I guess, that the government's not going to get shut down, right? Are people celebrating early?
Well, look, everyone around here, I think, is, and reporters included, everyone's just exhausted.
Yeah.
I mean, these debates, we've had multiple nights up here that go until 2 in the morning. We're just all ready for a break. And I genuinely think that is going to just give everybody a chance to go home, reset, get some sleep, and hopefully come back here with a new perspective on things. But we'll see how long that lasts. People say this every time they go out of town.
Right.
And then they come back and they start the political infighting all over again.
Well, and I would imagine you hear from representatives who go home, and now they have 4 weeks to hear from their constituents because they're back in their districts. That may change some of their thinking, you know, over the next month as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're sort of anticipating now that they're going to go home to a victory lap with this tax bill. But who knows? I mean, we saw what happened to Democrats when they passed Obamacare in 2009 and 2010, and they went home to crowds of people yelling about pulling the plug on grandma. So, you know, it's sort of hard to tell what the reaction is going to be. We saw the reaction during the Republican health care fight. That contributed to that bill being derailed. So, you know, it's really anybody's guess how constituents back home are going to respond to this tax bill. And Democrats are certainly going to do everything they can to highlight what they say are the drawbacks of this plan to the middle class.
Well, sure. Once people have a little more time to actually go over the numbers and read some more information on it, their reaction may change, and we will see. Allie, enjoy hopefully a little restful time over the holidays while the government is away. I'm sure you'll be working hard, and we will be watching on ABC. Thanks for taking some time. Yeah. Enjoy the rest of your holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Take care. That's Allie Rogan. She is ABC News correspondent, and you can see her on ABC. Listen to ABC here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to check the traffic trouble spots. I love every time I'm in for Roe, or either while I'm here by myself or with Anna, we get to a break, and I look up, and Violetta is panicked, like, oh my God, he's going to forget
me.
He's going to leave me hanging out to dry. No chance. Violetta, I would never forget you. And I will say this, we've been getting a number of texts from people who are watching on CLTV demanding that I stand up so they can see this sweater.
Yes.
So before the top of the hour, I will stand up so that you can see this, what I think is wonderful, but it is, yes, it's all of those things.
Such a tease.
Listen, that's what we do.
On the radio with a TV plug.
I know. It's kind of meta, isn't it? We're doing all sorts of different platforms. Violetta, you know that. It's all about the multiple platforms.
Yeah, get on where you can. Yeah. Violetta, I have a traffic text. Perhaps you can look into it for your next report.
Yes,
people,
what is it?
People are out. They want to know what's the deal. What's going on routes 59 and 58? Traffic is being diverted on Shoe Factory Road.
I will look into it.
Violetta's on it. She is up there in Traffic Central where everything traffic is going on up there. Is that correct, Violetta?
Zooming around my head.
Everything good so far? It sounds like things are not... as horrible as
they're not horrible yet, but it's a little bit later that they're expecting them to get a little heavier. Right now, it's heavier than usual for 4 o'clock, but yeah. It's not horrible.
Well, people are getting. I'm sorry, Kevin. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say most importantly, what does our commute look like when we leave the station at 7 o'clock?
Right. That's because let's be honest, it all comes down to our ease and comfort of life.
That's right.
Right. So at 7 o'clock, as we get into the 6 o'clock hour, we'll have. Oh, we'll have
Violetta's ignoring us now.
She's just going to give us alternate routes.
She's taking phone calls now.
Yeah, we'll give Violetta our destination. She could just narrowcast some alternate routes.
You know what you guys could do?
What?
You could download Traffic Chicago. It's personalized traffic on demand whenever you want it.
I've already got it, but since you were here handy, I figured we'd ask you.
It's a beautiful plug, Violetta. Very nice. Yeah. All right, I promised the people on that were watching on CLTV, because when we were talking in the start of the hour about this sweater, a number of people texted in and said, hey, we can't see the sweater, we just see your shoulders, and so they wanted me to stand up, and so all right, here we go. I don't know if you can see the flamingo. Oh, I'm getting up there. I can see.
Turn right, a little so. Bit the to the left, there you go, and then move your ID.
I'll move my ID. All right. Boy, Violetta is like, she's like Tim Gunn all of a
sudden.
You're
walking the runway there.
Project One runway. So yes, there's little, as you can see, there's flamingos everywhere. There's the giant flamingo. I put the mic flag there for product placement because it's all about the brand. So there you go. There's the ugly flamingo sweater. And, you don't have to call it, for the radio, sure. Boy, now Joe wants it. All right, so how would you describe it? It's kind of teal. It's got pink flamingos running all across it. On the front, it's a giant necked flamingo with an evil eye and a Santa hat.
Yeah. That's
but it's also a wintry sweater pattern.
It's got that. I don't know what the sweater pattern is, but you see a lot of the alpine ski sweaters have this type of pattern.
It looks like something you buy in Switzerland or Iceland or something
like that.
Like
it's almost knitted, but not.
Right.
And it does look like one of those Arctic sweaters, except if you look closely, going around instead of snowflakes or reindeer or moose or a caribou or something else, it's flamingos.
So is that an ugly sweater that's ironically ugly, or is it...
I bought it because I just thought it was crazy, hilarious, and horrible all at the same time. And I needed it for a couple events, because I've never owned an ugly sweater. I don't buy... Here's the thing about me, Joe. I don't buy my clothes ironically, because I have to spend money and then wear them. So if I'm not a hipster, I rarely drink PBR, and as you can see, I don't have a beard or a knit cap. So when I buy clothes, I buy them to wear them. Sometimes maybe they make a little statement, but it's more a statement of my feeling or fashion, rather than trying to comment on all of humanity.
But also, don't you find when you're a teacher, you buy and wear gimmicky things? My parents were both teachers,
yes.
And my mom had socks and shirts and earrings. I mean, for every holiday, for everything, she would, dress up for the theme or whatever it was.
It's so funny. My mom was a teacher. My dad was an administrator. My mom had all of those sweaters that you're describing, Kim, all the vests and the cardigans with all the stuff. And those are the ones that some of the young teachers now wear as the ugly sweaters. And my co-teacher today had one on, and I said, that's exactly, my mom, I think, had that sweater back when she was teaching, and they wore them as, look how cool we are.
Valentine's Day. I mean, my mom has Hanukkah earrings.
My mom had Halloween ones.
Yes. Oh, Halloween
Christmas.
Was huge.
Oh, sure. Because they had the earrings. We had one teacher when I was in grade school, and she was an older woman at that point. Mrs. Murray would dye her hair green every St. Patrick's Day. I don't know. I'm guessing she was Irish, but she just wanted to be in the spirit. So it was nice today to see all the teachers doing that. But you're right. Teachers love that stuff because kids
love
it.
Well, kids love that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's, that's when I guess it's fun to be a teacher. My mom loved doing that.
Yeah, it was fun. All right, on the other side of the news, we'll talk to Tom Skilling, find out what's happening for the holiday weekend weather. So much more to come. But this first, then news, WGN.
Brian Inman. Wow, Brian Inman Noonan. Wow, I just had a little little seizure. I don't know what happened. Brian Noonan for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. That's what I wanted to say. What I was really worried about is this accident. Violetta will keep you posted because we're getting more texts in, Violetta, about this big accident over at 59 and Golf and Shoe Factory Road and people saying they can't get through. But trust me, Violetta's on it. And if anything else changes, she will, you know, she'll let you know.
It's just building for miles now. So really avoid 59 if at all possible. And you can use Bartlett Road. It's running, you know, parallel to that.
Somebody said Bartlett Road is not good either. So,
well, probably because everyone's using it.
Right.
So,
see, I wonder, Violetta, and I know it's a traffic reporter deal, and we'll bring Tom in, and maybe Tom Skilling has an opinion on this. Tom, when traffic reporters give alternates, that immediately makes that alternate just as backed up. Don't you agree?
There may be some truth to that.
All right.
Who knows?
So I have another suggestion. Take Shoe Factory Road all the way down to Higgins, then get on to Barrington Road, and then you're in the clear. You go out of your way a little bit, but it'll
what about
be
that app? Give us that app again, Violetta. People, if they're sitting still in traffic, that's the time to download an app when you're not moving.
Yes, definitely. You can download Traffic Chicago. All you have to do is search TRAFFIX Chicago.
Perfect. Hi, Tom.
Hello, Brian. Isn't Violetta just a fountain of information?
She sure is.
Give me a map, Tom, and I'll just.
I know.
She's like alternates all day.
A modern day Magellan and Columbus all piled into one tiny package.
Yeah. It's like Captain Cook, you know.
I love
shortcuts.
Yeah.
Well, he was looking for the mapping the west coast of
That's
the continent.
Right.
So yeah,
and there
among
we go.
Other places.
So Tom, Christmas is only a few days away. Have you finished all your shopping?
I'm pretty well done with what I'm going to do. Brian.
There you go. That's perfect.
Santa's got the rest.
Now, do you go out yourself, Tom, or do you have one of your many staff members
you know
do that
what?
For you?
I always look for gifts that people can use. Like, for instance, one of my roommate's aunt and uncles. I get a lawn service for them. They're older, and I thought, wow, that might be kind of a...
That's a beautiful gift.
You can use. Yeah, I try to do stuff like that. I'm not a good one for going, because I don't have that many great gift ideas. You know?
Yeah. No, but see, I think what you do, the experiences or a gift like that, it's thoughtful, and it's one that will keep giving. And every time they don't have to pull out their lawnmower, they're going to thank you.
Right. Absolutely. That's the thinking anyway. Some people call me Ebenezer Skilling. I don't know. But I try to be pretty generous with everybody.
I cannot believe anyone would call you that and be serious about it. I don't think anybody listening, anybody who watches you on TV would ever go, yeah, that Tom Skilling, he hates Christmas. Never in a million years.
Oh, I'll tell you, I work with and know such wonderful people. It'd be pretty hard to be mean to them too long. The only ones I get mad at are the only things I get are these machines when they don't work sometimes.
Yes.
Now, that can drive me to distraction, and then I take Bill Gates' name in vain, you know, and all the rest. But other than that, everything's smooth flowing over here at Action Weather.
Yeah, right? You're a pretty go-with-the-flow kind of guy,
yeah,
it seems, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm with you. When you spend money on whether it's a piece of technology or something else, and you spend the money to buy a piece of equipment that's supposed to be quality, and then it doesn't work,
right?
That's when I lose my mind.
Yeah, I know. And it's... or else when you buy things and it's hard figuring out how they work. Are you good at that, Brian, figuring out how some of these devices work? I'm one of these people that if you bought when you used to buy VCRs, it would be blinking. The time would be blinking on it, you know, 2 years later. Because trying to figure out how to set the time is, than I can handle.
I'm not the typical guy who won't look at instructions.
Oh.
Because I have to, if that was happening, it would drive me nuts. So I will sit there with the instructions, and I'll go. That's why I don't like when you get the instructions and it's just stick drawing.
Oh, I know.
So what am I supposed to do with this?
Not only that, they're not the easiest things to read a lot of times, you know?
Not when you're at an advanced age like us, Tom.
Absolutely.
You know, my arms aren't long enough to read some of these instruction
right.
manuals.
Or it's like, you know, go change the time. Okay, but how do I do that?
Right. Yeah. And the horror is the arrival, you know, of Central Standard Time or the switch over to Daylight Time, you know. Although most of these cars have it worked out pretty well. You go to the clocks there, and they've got a little button somewhere that, you know, says if you're going on Daylight Savings Time, hit this, and it'll automatically make the adjustment.
Well, do you remember when you had to take either a ballpoint pen or a paper clip and punch a little tiny hole that was almost invisible? visible next to the clock so that then you could change it.
Isn't it the truth? And now we've got computers that talk to us. You know, you can ask Siri, how do I do this?
Right. You could just ask Siri what time it is. You don't even need a clock.
Yeah.
Just put masking tape over it so you never see it blinking and just go, I don't know what time it is.
I have a friend who's really good at this. And what I found, too, is very helpful is he goes online. And what a great idea. You know, most manufacturers will put a videotape that kind of guides you through it so you don't have to read it and try and make sense out of that. And you see how they actually go about setting up their electronics or changing the time on a clock and all. And that really helps a great deal.
That's how I learned to tie a bow tie.
You know how to do that?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen you with that. And you look very, very sharp in a bow tie,
thank you, Tom.
Too, Brian. I've seen you on your Facebook page.
Sure, it's full of pictures of me in bow ties.
Yeah, yeah. It really looks very becoming.
No, thank
becoming.
You. I was going, I learned because I was emceeing an event, and so I bought a tux, and I thought, well, I need to learn how to tie this bow tie. Plus, my wife, and a lot of guys, and women too, if you get a compliment from your partner, you're gonna keep that in mind. So one day my wife said, boy, I really like bow ties. So, Tom, you know, that was the impetus.
That was it.
I was going to learn how to tie a bow tie.
Yeah. What a perfect reaction.
Sure. And
now,
then she,
the problem is when you get these pre-tied ones, then I have trouble figuring out how to clip it. You know, it's just, there's that little tiny thing you've got to catch, with the hook on the clip. And, boy, that's a devil if you...
it's rough.
Yeah.
And then you're looking in the mirror and everything's backwards. Tom, if you ever want, I'll come on down.
Yeah.
We'll have a bow tie clinic. We'll get Kevin down here and Joe, and we're going to invite Ro and Jeff
great.
And Brian. We'll just all learn to tie bow ties.
I think that would be very useful.
See, that's what I'll give you, an experience for Christmas.
Thank
here,
you.
Tom, I'm going to teach
go.
You to tie a bow tie.
Good. I like that, Brian.
All right. Now, listen, we got spoiled this week, Tom.
We did.
It was 50 in December, and people were like, this is going to last forever. And it's about to, the bottom's dropping out,
well,
right?
It's going to get colder. To be sure, throughout the history in this area, we have all experienced. I mean, we went through the winters of the 70s. We'll probably never, ever have winters like that again in our lifetimes. They were collectively the worst winters we've ever had.
I remember, though. It's just horrible. 79 and before that.
Remember that? You couldn't go through a snowstorm without going down to 20 below after, if not lower than that. And that's when the city started putting calcium chloride in with the salt, because the salt wouldn't even do it. Remember that?
Yes.
There's nothing like that coming in.
Good.
But compared to what we've seen, it'll be noticeably colder. And we're talking about, on Saturday, for instance, we'll start around 30, which isn't all that bad, go down to 22. We've been worse off than
that's,
that.
That's not horrible.
No, but coming off a week where there was a 50... That'll feel chilly.
Yes.
So
it's ridiculous.
We're getting acclimated. And another thing too, Brian. This is the least snowy calendar year on the books here in the city at Midway Airport, where we have readings of snowfall back to 1929.
Okay.
We've only had 11.5 inches since January 1st, and only a little over 2 inches for the season as a whole. This is extraordinary. There's never been a year. We normally get mid 30s by now in terms of a.
So what? What causes that?
Well, part of it's climate change, part of it's the storm track. You know, we came off a growing season, a period between the last frost and the first one that was 227 days without freezing temperatures through the spring, summer, and autumn. Normally, that's about 180 days.
Okay.
So we have longer periods of warmth and above freezing temperatures, shorter periods in which we can get snow. That's contributed to it. And a lot of it has to do with the storm track. You know, you get one storm, you can really radically change your annual snowfall total.
Mm-hmm.
But we've just been part of its luck. We've been missing out on the big storms.
Well, are we looking at it? Because, as much as I hear you say that we haven't had snow, and in my heart jumps. I'm so happy.
Yeah.
But then I think to myself, well, I don't want to be the guy that ruins Christmas and doesn't wish for snow. So, okay, we could have are we going to have a white Christmas?
I think not. And you define a white Christmas as an inch of snow.
Okay.
We could have a little dusting in spots tomorrow night, and there might be a flurry sometime later Sunday or Sunday night, but there's a little snow system Sunday or Monday night, Christmas night.
Okay.
But I don't see anything that would lay down an inch of snow, which is the definition we use for a white Christmas, inch of snow or more on the ground at 6 a.m. And, you know, historically, only about 38 to 42% of our Christmases have been white around here. So
That's not good.
No, you've got less than a 50-50 shot. I think a lot of folks are surprised by that. But historically, we have less than a 50-50 shot, you know, just on the books.
All right. Well, what do we have to look forward to from now until Christmas, Tom?
The one thing is this little disturbance tonight. And while a lot of it will be liquid and it's going to be fairly light, you go out to the northwest suburbs, out toward McHenry and DeKalb, northern Fox Valley, Rockford, Lake Geneva, up toward Janesville and north. Some of those areas could get down around freezing late tonight. And so there's a chance you could have some icy spots with that. And then tomorrow, just a flake of snow, but basically just cloudy many hours without anything happening, and maybe a touch of little drizzle at times. And then tomorrow night, a couple of flurries and partly cloudy, windy, colder Saturday. Tomorrow, we'll get up close to 40.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. And tonight, 33. That's way above the normal, which is down around 20 this time of year. Normal highs are around 34, so we're above that tomorrow. But then 30 and falling to 22 Saturday, 21 Sunday, 23 Sunday, 21 Christmas Day and Tuesday. Right. And nighttime lows around 10. Christmas night and Tuesday night next week.
Well, it's December. I guess we got to be ready.
Yeah.
Tom, I know you got to run. You got a TV gig. Is that what I hear? You got a little TV side job that you do?
You know what? Little sidebar. You know, I've got a side job here on the TV side.
Everybody's got a side hustle, Tom.
I know.
Well, hey, I will talk to you tomorrow.
Brian, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I was going to wish you Merry Christmas, but I'll have a chance to do that. And happy holidays to everybody. Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you, Tom. We will talk to you tomorrow.
You bet. See you later,
Take care.
Brian.
Bye-bye. That's the great Tom Skilling. You hear him with Ro and Anna every day, and we will talk to him again tomorrow. Always fun. Violetta, are you ready? Because it's happening. It's starting now, isn't it, Violetta?
The madness,
The traffic trouble spots are mounting. Thank goodness you are here. Yeah, all of a sudden I get it. Well, this is the season where a lot of food shows up at the radio station, and radio people are notoriously locust-like when it comes to any sort of food delivery. So there was our boss came in, and he had some giant tray of chocolates, various chocolates from the people who are building the new studios, the architects who are doing
that. Oh, is that where they came from?
Yes,
nice.
Those came from them. And then our fine production director, Chris Duffy, I hear him from the other end of the hallway going, nothing to see here. And all the Wingstop food was there. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm trying, you know.
And I'm walking in with our guy, Percio, who drops it off every week from Wingstop. And then I look at the corner of my eye, Duffy's like, oh, I just happen to be in the kitchen. I'm just getting a glass of water or something.
Sure.
And he's just fumbling around. And
he doesn't tell you he'd been sitting in there for 15 minutes.
Right? He could sense
Duffy,
it.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine.
Knew.
Yeah, he's just under the counter. Hey, you guys hungry for wings? I'm like, no, not really. Oh, because, you know, I was thinking of maybe having some wings. I'm like, oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, they don't last long in the programming kitchen. Now the Wingstop shows up. Everybody gets word. Did you hear? Did you hear what happened?
Well,
Wingstop's
that's just
here.
It. Wingstop came in. And again, most of the time, sometimes you get here and you come in for the afternoon or you come in the evening and you get excited because you see food. And then you realize somebody brought it in for the Cochrane show, so it's been here for about 8 hours. And
normally doesn't stop me, to be honest.
No, sometimes, depending on the food, like a mayonnaise-based salad I may pass on. But, you know, something else I'm going to enjoy.
Pizza holds up.
Pizza
does
hold up because you can microwave. This, I tried one of the boneless wings first, and I was like, oh my God, it's still hot.
I know. Well, that's the Wingstop's so good. I don't know, the way they package it or something, because every time they bring it, sometimes in the past I've been to other wing places, and they, like, you take it home, and it's just not
as they don't
fresh.
Travel.
It's not as crispy. These travel well.
They traveled well.
Thanks,
this is my first time. My first time enjoying them. Yeah.
All right. I'm glad you liked them.
I did it. Now I'm going to have to.
I'll give you a heads up every week.
Do they come on Thursdays?
They come on when there's a big hockey game for a local team in town. So
I heard there's a team playing tonight. Chris Bowden is going to come on at 7 o'clock and tell us all about that. Mark Lazarus is going to join us after the news. He's going to preview it. He's going to talk about his book. We're going to talk a little hockey. So if Kevin's done with his wings, we'll all talk some hockey on the other side of the news, which we will do in, I don't know, let's say 30 seconds, 40 seconds, right here on WGN.
Keith moves it over to Osterley, stretch past Kane, into the wild zone, down the slot, shoots, he scores! Patrick Kane with his second goal of the night is now fifth all-time in Chicago Blackhawk history in goal scoring, eclipsing Dennis Hull, and he puts the Hawks on top 2-0.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
Look at that. The wonderful voice of John Wideman calling action. Patrick Kane's 299th goal. Kevin Powell is down in the studio with me. We're going to be talking to Mark Lazarus in a little bit. The Hawks, boy, 2 weeks ago, we were all lamenting what's going on. Five-game losing streak. And then the Hawks go, all right, we'll show you. Then we go, we got a five-game tear. Now the big, as you mentioned, 2 weeks, six-game road trip. I don't know what's changed in the last couple weeks. Other than Quenneville, you know, yelling at them, and the guys, who knows what switch gets flipped, because you lose five games,
right.
You can go one way or another, and they've gone obviously the good way, but you could easily just go, oh man, this is it.
Right. Well, they've all sort of admitted that they're simply playing better, and the urgency's there. I think you can't completely dismiss the parity in the NHL. A couple of guys that I think Mark, who we're planning on talking
to, he had a great piece today,
you know, was really about the parity that has come in the NHL, which is a good thing, but it can be frustrating for us spoiled Blackhawk fans who have seen nothing but winning for the past decade. Now, one, everybody's gunning for the Blackhawks, and two, teams are just a lot better because of the rules that are
the salary cap has put it in, where you've got all these guys, and Mark's article today that you referenced, he was talking to Brent Seabrook, and Seabrook told him, listen, you used to be able to go into a couple arenas and go, we don't really have to do anything if we're going to win tonight. Now, you can't do that anywhere.
Right, and some of the dark days for the Blackhawks before this current dynasty, they referenced that as well, that you have a few games a year where you lose 8-1, 7-2, 6-1. You don't really see that often. I mean, every game, people are scrapping, and especially because now you get the overtime point. If you lose an over, teams are scrapping for that extra
point.
So I think the parity's there, which makes it a little bit tougher. But that guy Kaner that we heard, fifth now on all-time goals in franchise history. So
not bad. You keep now 299 is great, but everybody wants to see that 300th. It's when's it coming?
Right.
And it's going to be soon. But
are you calling it tonight, Brian? Is that what you're saying?
Against Dallas, they're 0-2 this season against Dallas. But I think it's time to get let's get it over with.
Okay.
So I am calling for it. I'm calling for it in the second period late.
Second period. Okay.
Well, I'll go on record there. Second period late. So you can figure out when late is.
Yes.
You know? Right. You can. Some people might say, well, 4 minutes, that's not really late.
Well, I'll go with that. I mean, if you're calling the second period, Brian, I'm going to give you credit regardless.
Okay.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
If it was within 30 seconds of the second period, I still get a little credit.
I'll still give it to
you. All right, thank you.
I mean, that's still a pretty good call by you.
That's what I like. Corey Crawford still the bedrock of this team.
No question. I mean, they would not be where they are if it were not for Corey Crawford. He is by far, without question, the MVP of this team. Highest percent save percentage in all of hockey. Missed a couple games with the lower body, but he's back.
9-0-2 in his last 11 starts. 27 out of 28 blocked the other night against Minnesota.
And it's tough to earn the praises of the one Coach Joe Quenneville. He doesn't exactly just hand out compliments.
No, he does not.
But he's been praising Crawford all year, and he hasn't been shy to praise Crawford. He's like, look, this guy's been outstanding from game one. He's having a career year right now. And that's good to see from a guy who maybe you think, he's getting a little bit up there in age. I mean, he's certainly not old, but, man, he's having a career year. This is the best I've ever seen him play.
Quenneville still, even after the win the other night, five victories in a row, Quenneville still not completely happy, which we've come to expect from the coach. He's never going to say, we were perfect, because then what are you going to do? Still trying to work on the power play, still saying that the team's getting off to a slow start. But that's every season. Every season it's the same laments. They get off to a slow start. The Stars aren't playing up to their... Every season we repeat the same talking points. I have one that is troubling not only to Blackhawks fans, but to my wife, who thinks he's... What's going on with Patrick Sharp?
One goal in his last 27 games. Yeah. He's probably going to be a healthy scratch tonight, so he's probably... Which will be the first time he's been a healthy scratch, I want to say.
And especially Lazarus to Dallas.
Yeah, I think Mark Lazarus tweeted this out. First time in like a decade he's been a healthy scratch, so... You've seen Q not be shy to pull the trigger and bench a guy if he needs to be benched,
and
no matter who it is.
He was talking the other day about limiting Sharp's ice time because the results just aren't there. And his teammates, of course, are very supportive of him and saying, he's playing hard. It's just... it's not happening.
Well, we saw it last year, too, with Brian Campbell, a proud veteran, a guy who had a ton of stature with the Chicago Blackhawks. And Quinville wasn't afraid to bench him as well. And, I think it worked for the most part. I think a guy like Sharp, Q doesn't care who it is. If it's a guy who's played 14 years or if it's a rookie. If you're not playing well, you're sitting.
You gotta
sit. Simple as that. So.
Well, we've been referencing him for the last few minutes. Sun-Times beat reporter who covers the Blackhawks, Mark Lazarus. He is also the author of If These Walls Could Talk, Chicago Blackhawks stories from the Chicago Blackhawks ice locker room and press box. He is in Dallas getting ready to cover the team. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm great. How you doing?
We are fantastic. We were just talking about your tweet today that it looks like Patrick Sharp is going to be a healthy scratch, first time ever in his career. Is that right?
In his Blackhawks career. The last time he was a scratch was his first couple of years in the league under Coach Ken Hitchcock in Philadelphia, so it's been a while.
What's the word around the team? I mean, his teammates are all standing behind him, saying he's playing hard. Things just are not going his way. Is it age? What could it be with Patrick Sharp?
It's interesting. I thought he's actually played pretty well the last couple of weeks since Vinny Hinostroza's been up and has been his center. There's been a little more life in his legs, it looks like, and they've been creating some chances. The problem is, Richard Panik had to get back in the lineup at some point. He's had three games. You have to see if he can get back in and find his scoring touch again. And who are you going to take out? You've already taken out Ryan Hartman once or twice. Patrick Sharp has one goal in the last 27 games. He's the logical choice to come out. It's a difficult decision. I don't think Joel was happy to make it, but he's the guy who has to come out. That fourth line is too effective to come out, and the top six is untouchable. So Sharp was he's basically the odd man out. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And for a guy who's played a lot under Quenneville, Sharp has to understand what this is about, right?
Yeah, he's not happy about it. When on Monday at practice, when we saw that he was outside of the top four lines, asked to speak to him. He understood that he had to address it. He wasn't thrilled about it. He was relatively curt with his answers, but he knew he's a veteran, and he knew this is a story, and he stood there and he answered the question. Says, I need to be better. I need to be faster. I need to play with more pace. All those things are true, and he knows that. He's been around a long time. He knows when he's not good enough, and right now he's just not good enough.
It's been sort of a weird up-and-down year this season, Mark, for the Hawks. What stood out to you over this past five-game winning streak?
Well, they're starting to play like themselves again. They're starting to have the puck more. I mean, for the first 30-some-odd or 20-some-odd games of the season, they were just chasing the puck all the time. They were getting a lot of shots on goal, but they were giving up an amazing amount of shots on goal for a team that's usually been so good at limiting opposing shots. They were chasing the puck. They were getting pinned in their own zone. A lot of that had to do with a new defense. I mean, four of their six defensemen from last year are gone. You had to integrate some new guys into the lineup. They're just starting to feel things out now and get their feet beneath them. Moving out Alex DeBrincat into the top six has solidified that and given Jonathan Toews and Brandon Saad a new life because Richard Panik was kind of bringing them down for a while there. And the lineup's really taking shape, adding Vinny Hinostroza to that third line, giving them a little jump, a little more scoring chances. And then you got Corey Crawford. I remember the five-game losing streak before this five-game winning streak, Corey Crawford was hurt for three of those games. Crawford hasn't lost a game in over a month in regulation.
That's unbelievable. You mentioned in your story, Mark, that Q was not happy with the slow starts, and Kevin and I were talking about this. We hear this every year. What can be done, and what is Q trying to do to remedy that, to get the Hawks off to a faster start?
Well, it's been better lately. For a while, the second period was really the problem. It was really strange. They would have this great first period and then just come out completely flat and get just waxed in the second period. And that's another thing that's been better during this streak. They've kind of stabilized that. And he's still looking for that 60-minute game. That's what's eating at Joel Quenneville right now, is he doesn't think the Hawks have played a full 60 minutes. Even in Winnipeg, even in the last game against Minnesota, they've come close to it, but they've had these lulls. They haven't been able to – they don't have that killer instinct they used to have where they would take an early lead and then just put their foot on the throat of the opponents. They haven't done that lately. And he's still looking for that. When he sees that, then maybe you'll see an actual smile underneath that mustache.
Mark, I really liked your piece in the Sun-Times today titled Life of the Parody, basically talking about how the salary cap and certain rule changes in the NHL have made it tougher for teams. And, we were talking about the Blackhawks, how they've sort of spoiled us over the past decade with all this winning, but it's not going to come easy, particularly because of these rules that are in place.
Well, yeah. I mean, teams have gotten smarter. The league has gotten more difficult. I mean, look at the you have an expansion team this year that we all laughed when they drafted their expansion. Like, oh my God, this team is going to be awful. They're 22-9-2, and they're in first place in the Western Conference.
You could have made a lot of money betting on that.
Yeah,
and nobody
exactly.
did.
Right next door to their
arena. Just go over and play some bets.
Monte Carlo. But it's amazing because the league is just so tough right now because everyone, there's no super teams. It's kind of the opposite of the NBA where you have these amazingly fun super teams to watch. In the NHL, you just have this ridiculous competitive balance where even the worst teams, you look at Buffalo. Buffalo is a terrible hockey team in theory. And they took the Blackhawks and Penguins to overtime back-to-back games. I mean, there's no easy nights out there. There's no teams like the mid-2000s Blackhawks. I remember talking to Brent Sopel when I was doing this book, and he was telling me how, like, you know, in the mid-2000s, when you had the Blackhawks on the calendar, this is before he was with the Blackhawks, you just wrote that away. We got 2 points that night. Let's go out and get drunk that night and go shopping for our wives. We'll have a great time. We'll get this game over with. We'll get out of here with our 2 points. There's nowhere in the league that you can do that anymore. There are no supremely weak links, and even like Arizona, the worst team in the league, you know, they've given a lot of teams a tough time, and they've beaten some good teams. There's no gimmies anymore.
Let's talk about the book for a minute. And it's if you have a hockey fan on your holiday Christmas list, this is the book because if they love the Blackhawks, they're going to love If These Walls Could Talk, the Blackhawks story from the ice, the locker room, and the press box. Now, granted, Mark, you have a different relationship because you're the beat reporter. You're around these guys all the time. But hockey players and the NHL, notoriously tight-lipped about a lot of stuff. How did you get the access to get the kind of stories that you got for this book?
Well, the thing is, current Blackhawks are very difficult to get to talk, but former Blackhawks are not.
Ah. Well,
retired
then.
Retired players are a little more loose-lipped than current players are. So, for me, you know, my first year on the beat was 2013, the lockout season, the second cup. So for me, the real fun was going back and looking at that 2010 team and how it was built, and you know how it that was the last of a dying breed. You're never going to have a team like that was so young and borderline reckless, going out 15, 20 strong to bars at night, the night before a game on the road, and then you know sweating it off in the morning skate, and then going and killing some team 6-2 that night. You know, in the age of social media, in the age of all these players where they're bred not to put any poisons in their bodies and to make sure they get proper sleep and proper nutrition. You're never going to have a team like that was that kind of that rowdy, fun-loving, old-time hockey kind of team. And it was really fun to have some of those guys. Those are the ones that told the best stories because they're out of the league now, and the statute of limitations has passed on some of these things. So that was the most fun I had was going back in those teams. Because, yeah, I mean, you look at the teams now, like, they're all very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
They're good guys. They're pleasant. They're well spoken, and they say nothing because you know they're hockey automatons. That's what I always call these kids coming up. They're very pleasant kids who just play golf and play hockey, and that's all they do.
Mark, which player have you enjoyed covering the most and being around?
Wow, I think Antti Raanta was my favorite guy to cover. He was just the backup goalie for in 2013 or 2014 and 2015. Just I like guys that are appreciative of where they are. And that aren't jaded on the fact that they're professional hockey players making lots of money to play a game. And Antti Raanta was always the happiest guy in the room. He was so excited to be in the NHL. He had that joy and that fun and everything he did. And he was just this amazing storyteller and funny guy. And he was, you know, emotionally honest when things were going badly. And I appreciate guys like that. Brian Bickle's another guy who is the most emotionally honest athlete I've ever covered. Just raw, like a raw nerve exposed. No matter when things were going great, when things were going awful, he was always there to talk about it, and he didn't mince words, and he was his harshest critic, and I like guys like that are really open and kind of let you in a little bit.
Now, some of the guys, last year when it was announced there was going to be no circus trip, a lot of the guys were like, oh, that's great, and then this year when they didn't get it, yeah, they were very upset that there was no circus trip because they didn't get the bond. When you've got a six-game road trip like this, does it in some way take a little bit a place of the circus trip, or is there anything that's going to be that like that again?
I'll tell you why the players missed the circus trip and the ice show trip. It's because we're getting killed in travel this year. You used to have more than a quarter of your road games wrapped up in two trips, one
right.
in November and one in January and February. And now, you know, I'm following these guys around. We're just bouncing all over the continent left and right. You're home for a day. You're gone for a day. It's the players have noticed it. The travel has been much more grueling without the circus trip and the ice show trip to kind of knock all those road trips off. So that's been the biggest factor. But yeah, this is a good time. You got, you know, they're going you know, they'll come home after New Jersey, get their Christmas break. Some of the guys will go to Mexico like they always do.
Yeah.
And then you have, what is it, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. And then instead of coming home for a day, they're going straight to New York. So they'll have a couple of nights in New York. So that's a nice trip. It's like a 7 or 8 day trip where you can kind of have some of that team bonding and things like that. And that's always good for the team, absolutely. But and the road trips are good because there's no distractions. There's no family. These guys are all fathers now. You know,
yeah.
You can just be a hockey player again. I think that's one of the reasons the guys like those long road trips.
All right, well, Mark Lazarus follows the team. He's the beat reporter for the Sun-Times. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Lazarus. Pick up his book, If These Walls Could Talk, Chicago Blackhawks Stories from the Chicago Blackhawks Ice Locker Room and Press Box. Any prognostication for tonight?
It's the NHL, so it'll probably be a really competitive game that comes down to the wire and go to overtime.
Very nice. Well, Mark, enjoy the holidays, travel safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Take care. Mark Lazarus covering the Hawks for the Sun-Times. You want to make a... Now, I already made a prediction for tonight. I didn't go with the victory prediction yet.
You predicted Kane would get his 300th goal tonight.
In the second period.
Late in the second.
Yep.
We'll give it to you no matter when it happens in the second. I'll go with the Blackhawks victory, 6 straight. I'll go 3-2.
All right. Very nice. Well, Chris Bowden has your pregame at 7. John and Troy, all the action after that. All right. That it for me, Joe? What do we got? I don't know anymore.
You want some Christmas? I can whistle on Christmas music.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, is he playing something? There it is. Nah, he's a good... It's all me. All me. I got all excited talking about the Hawks, and then I turned something down. Things like, you were going to whistle? What do you take requests, Kevin?
Yeah, I'm a pretty strong whistler.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, can you do the finger-in-the-mouth whistle?
No.
See, neither can I. Kim, can you do that?
No, but my dad can.
Really?
Oh, awesome. Yeah. He has a really strong whistle.
Man,
he can do it.
I wish I could do that.
My dad's got a potent whistle as well. He used to get me from down the street, you know, as a kid.
Because you can only get so much volume with the, you know.
No, that other one's piercing.
Oh, yeah.
It'll like clothesline you.
My dad was a PE teacher, so he could get kids like running for miles away.
Well, see, and
he was a PE and football coach.
These PE teachers nowadays use a regular whistle.
Yeah,
metal whistle. Nah.
Soft.
You need the old-timey coaches.
Exactly.
Spoiled gym teachers these
days.
That's
right.
That's the one when you know you got to get in line. You hear that whistle, you're like, I did something wrong.
Reminds you of the Sound of Music, you know, Captain Von Trapp with the whistle.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no messing around. If you do the finger whistle, people are coming.
You're not
people,
messing around.
Dogs, cattle, everything.
Right. That guy knows what's up, female.
And
they know what's up.
I wouldn't even know how to learn to do that.
I tried to do it once. It was a late night at a bar, and we were Googling it, and I got it for like a second.
Yeah.
But I think people got annoyed, and I just kind of gave up.
Another cool sound is that owl sound with your hands, the hoo, hoo. I can't do that one.
No, really? You sounded like you had
it down.
What,
you blow into your hand like a conch shell?
Yeah. Like, I can't do it. I'm just making the noise with my throat, not with my hands. Like
thought you had an owl in the traffic booth.
I know, because I'm so convincing.
Traffic Central is now an aviary. It's very exciting. All right, we've got to do this. Then it'll be top 5 at 5. But the news comes up in your way. In your way, it's coming up right after this. Nice, Joe. Look at that. Tying it in. Time-specific bump. It's Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. That's our text number. That's a good way to get a hold of us. You can also stay involved on social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. We've got the top 5 of 5 coming in just a second. Then we're going to talk about a thing after 5:30. We're going to talk about some things because people are still Christmas shopping, last-minute shoppers. Things that are worth spending a little more money on. But right now, let's not waste any more time now talking about what's coming up later when we can do this.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
That is a very bossy open. But I enjoy it. I like when the production elements yell at me to get on with things. Because Joe does it so politely. So I'll listen to that. All right, let's get started, shall we?
Number five.
Number five. The United Nations voted overwhelmingly to condemn President Donald Trump's decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, despite threats from the U.S. to pull funding from the world body. Some 128 countries voted for the resolution. Nine voted no, and 35 nations abstained, including Canada, Mexico, and Australia. The vote came after U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Nikki Haley issued a direct threat, saying that the U.S. will think twice about funding the world body if it voted to condemn Trump's decision.
The United States will remember this day in which it was singled out for attack in the General Assembly for the very act of exercising our right as a sovereign nation. We will remember it when we are called upon to once again make the world's largest contribution to the United Nations. And we will remember it when so many countries come calling on us, as they so often do, to pay even more and to use our influence for their benefit.
Wow. Kind of sounds like something out of The Sopranos, doesn't it?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We're going to remember. You come and ask me for something, I'm going to remember what you did today. Today's going to be a black letter day for you. We're going to remember. Wow. I'm scared. If I'm a small country, well, you can't threaten us.
Yeah, I was reading the story and I saw a threat and I was like, yeah, sure. Okay.
That always, listen, threats always work when it comes to diplomacy. That always works. Well, that was chilling.
Number four.
Number four. Oh, we heard about this. Kim read this story. The Chicago Police Department carried out several raids overnight after infiltrating a Facebook group where guns and drugs were being sold. Dozens of suspects were arrested, including a Chicago public school teacher. It was a 10-month operation that began in February when a police informant told investigators about gun and drug trafficking going on in a dark corner of social media, the so-called secret groups on Facebook. 50 people were arrested in last night's raid, which took place all over the city. Undercover officers were able to pose as drug and gun purchasers, and over the course of the investigation, got 18 illegal guns off the street.
This was a 10-month-long investigation. The operation actually began in February of this year when a police informant told investigators about potential drug and gun trafficking in a dark corner of the internet known as Facebook groups that are hidden to the public. These groups were infiltrated by police officers, and 50 people were arrested in last night's raids.
Kevin Violetta, you're younger and more savvy to the ways of the social media than I am, Joe as well. Did you know about these dark secret groups? Is there a secret traffic group, Violetta, that maybe, or a secret sports group, Kevin, that you go to on the dark web?
No. I don't like groups in general. No. Like, yeah. The group messaging or events, I'm like, no.
Those are like the people who are just glued to their computer screen, like in a dark room somewhere all day, every day.
Well, where do you find these secret Facebook groups?
I have no idea.
I don't either.
I wish I could answer that for you, Brian, but I literally have no clue.
Cat videos.
I would Google, like, how to find dark web areas.
You think that would help me?
And then I'd probably get hacked by one of these dark web guys.
Of course, that's it. I'd end up going down some rabbit hole, and you'd see me on the news, and I'd be like, I don't know what happened.
Next thing you know, your identity's stolen, your whole life's ruined. You're like, I don't know.
I'm doing a perp walk in the flamingo sweater. Things are turning ugly.
Just looking into the dark web.
I don't know, walking into the wrong club, too. Right. You know, like, hey, is this where I find out how to make a cake? No?
No. This is where we find out how to kill people who eat cake. Oh, that's not the group I wanted to be in at all.
Sorry.
This is horrifying. Yeah, I hear about this stuff. I like these secret Facebook groups. And I like Facebook just fine, but I didn't know there were secret groups. I know there are groups where you have to be accepted in it. But
yeah, that's just really nerdy.
Nerdy and dangerous. Dude. Obviously, if you've got if you're selling drugs and weapons on Facebook and Facebook knows about it, that ain't right. That ain't right at all.
That's
so
weird.
That is very weird.
Classic dark web.
Is that what it is?
I guess.
The classic dark web. That's where I can hire a mercenary, right? If I need to hire a mercenary, I don't know why I would, but I could go to the dark web if I knew where it was. And get myself a mercenary?
I think you'd find someone there.
Yeah? All right. Well, just, you know, because you can't just hope the A-team's going to show up anymore. This is probably where the A-team would be if they'd be on the dark web. All right. Well, listen, if you know about that, don't send us information because we really don't want to go on the dark web.
Number three.
Oh, boy, this got me all riled up today. Apple, and I have an iPhone, I have an older iPhone, the iPhone 1, which is actually a crank phone with a push buttons, but I have it. They issued a rare statement of explanation today, saying that they have used software updates to limit the performance of older iPhones that may have battery issues that would cause them to turn off suddenly. Uh-huh. Tech analysts and angry customers, as you can imagine, have reported in recent days that operating system updates had caused older iPhones to slow considerably, some suggesting that Apple could be using the tactic to encourage fans to buy new iPhones. Apple insists the updates were made with a different goal in mind.
Of course, Apple is confirming now in a statement it's using software and new iOS updates to slow down iPhone 7 and earlier models. But Apple claims it's not to make you want to pay to get a new iPhone. The company says it's being done to increase battery performance.
Uh-huh. Is that what it is? They want to increase my battery performance?
Right, because they're slowing down certain parts of your phone, but since they're slowing it down, you're feeling like your phone's not working.
Right.
But it's increasing your battery life.
Well, why don't they make updates that don't do
that?
Can't
you just go on low battery mode? That's what I do if I know I'm going to be out somewhere.
Right, but the new software, when your phone can do more impressive things than it could.
Right. Well, why don't they make the new software capable with old,
then there's no reason to ever
buy a
advance.
New phone.
Right. But the whole point is the technology is advancing, but the software and the hardware is not advancing with it until you buy a new phone.
Well, then they should just
sounds
say
like a scam to me.
It sounds like
a scam to me. That's why I don't
it's
update my phone. That's why I have a 2-pixel camera on my phone.
And if you're happy with that, that's great.
No,
but but the software.
Who would be happy with a 2-pixel camera?
I don't even know what that means. But
hey guys, let's release a software upgrade, and it's basically going to ruin all of our older models. Great,
but
so
we can tell people. We can tell people that it's for their battery life. And quite for my battery life's just fine. And you know, in this day and age, if you're running out of battery, what are you doing? Because there's charging stations everywhere. Every car has an old lighter where you can plug your phone in to charge it up. Your phone could be charged everywhere. Get one of those the extra packs.
Yeah,
extra
those are
battery
nice.
Pack.
Yeah. Throw those in the golf bag. Those are great.
Yeah, see, there's all sorts of ways.
The updates are optional. If you think it's going to make your phone go slower, then don't download it.
Yeah,
but then you're
do,
not going to
yeah.
have the access to the better
what's
software.
Better? What better software? What's so much better?
Well, every new update has a different feature.
I don't know. I get updates and they just say, oh, we're just fixing a bug. We're just smoothing something out.
So you get one new feature and then that basically
but you don't
turns
have
your
to download
into,
it.
Like,
all right, don't be an apologist for Apple, Viola.
I'm not attacking you. It makes so much sense, and I don't know why Everett makes such a big deal about it.
If you love Apple so much, why don't you marry Apple?
Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't even like Apple that
burn,
much.
Roast and moving on to number three.
You bet burn.
We're actually moving on to number two. Maybe you need the update for that.
Wow. I hate it when you kids fight. It hurts my heart. It makes me sad. Rob, do you hear this? Rob Martier coming into the newsroom right in the middle of a family squabble.
I don't want to have to be the parental figure in this
yeah,
crime.
Yeah, really. Let's settle this down. These kids are out of their minds. You know what? We're going to take a timeout. I'm going to put Kevin in one corner, and Violetta is going to give us traffic trouble spots, and then
I
go to her
talk
corner.
I get to talk next, Kevin.
Well, formatically, I'm not playing
I'll
favorites,
get the last
Kevin.
Laugh, I
I'm not playing
it.
Favorites by letting Violetta talk next.
Yeah, you are.
It's formatically predisposed that Violetta will talk next. When I say it's time for the traffic trouble spots, here's Violetta. Right. We're in the middle of top five at five. When last we left, Kevin and Violetta were arguing strenuously about this. We did get a text. Somebody's sticking up for Violetta, saying she was right, and if your battery dies, you don't have to buy a new phone. You can just buy a new battery.
That was nice that Brenda, her sister, was texting in.
Listen, I don't know what number Violetta's sister would text in from. It could be a number in the 312.
I have plenty of... No, it's not.
Okay.
773, my sister.
Well, as I said, I don't know. I don't know where your sister would text in from. Yeah, I heard the new battery is, what, 80-some bucks if you want to replace the battery. But I don't know.
Or go off the grid. You don't even need a phone if you don't like Apple that much.
Oh, I'm not saying I don't like Apple.
Just don't get a phone. It's not a big deal.
You can really get Samsung.
Could go Galaxy
or
go
an LG.
Else. Wow, here we go.
Yeah, and they don't rip off
Google
people.
Phone.
No, wow.
Only Apple does.
I'm done with this conversation.
Yeah, wow. Violetta is taking it down a dark path. Perhaps you need to start some secret group on Facebook on the dark web.
Number two.
Number two. AAA says this afternoon is going to be a mess. Violetta's been covering it all day. Traffic time's expected to triple between 4 and 6. Are you seeing that as a fact, Violetta?
Traffic time's tripling? Triples a little bit too much.
All right. That's due to a combination of holiday travelers, commuters heading home from work, or here in Midway, expected to break new travel records as well, according to the city of Chicago. The Chicago Department of Aviation said that it's prepared to serve more than 5.2 million passengers for Christmas and New Year's travel.
While today is one of the busiest days on the roads, tomorrow is expected to be the busiest day at the airports. The Chicago Department of Aviation plans to serve more than 5 million people for Christmas and New Year's travel.
Wow. So today's the roads, tomorrow's the airports. I don't have to go anywhere except here.
Someone texted in to support me. I'm with Kevin, fear the bird.
Wow. Here we go. Now it's become a text battle to fuel the rivalry.
I hope you don't have to use your iPhone to text in. You might run out of battery and then have to go spend $1,000.
Or get an upgrade and then render your phone useless.
Oh, you kids and your spats. All right, I'll let you simmer on that while I say it's time for...
Number one.
Thank you, Orion. Yes, number one. It's a feel good. This is a night. We end the top five at five after the vitriol that has been spewed between Violetta and Kevin. We end the top five at five on a happy, happy note. Chicago's five major professional sports teams announced that they will donate a combined $1 million to help reduce the rampant gun violence in the city. Owners of the Bears, Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, and White Sox partnered with the University of Chicago Crime Lab, which evaluates crime reduction strategies. The $1 million donation will be split three ways. The youth therapy program Choose to Change, analyst training for technology centers in Chicago police stations, and the U of C Crime Lab. This was the statement from Blackhawks president John McDonough.
We would really like to be a beacon for all of this and call out to our fans to be part of the solution revolution as we take this very, very seriously.
Good for the Blackhawks. Good for all the major sports teams. Fans, of course, from all over the city. So you want to make sure you're taking care of the people who support your team. So kudos to them for coming together, donating $1 million to help with the gun violence. Hopefully, you know, you never know.
It's just cool seeing them all come together to do something. It's not like
it is nice.
You don't see that often, not for any negative reason or anything. It's just it's hard to get these busy organizations that have so much going on together for them to all stick together and make the sports allegiance for this. I thought it was really
and they
cool.
all yeah, and they all participate in things for their own leagues, which is fine. But this is purely local. So that's terrific. Kudos to them for doing that. Let's close it up, shall we?
The top five at five.
All right. The texts keep coming in. I don't want to fuel this feud between you two, but it's amusing me, so I will. KP, I'm on Beeper 8. Apple
no, he's
Spies.
On Beer 8. I'm probably a Miller Lite.
Oh, Beer 8.
Yeah, doing MLs.
See, now we see the people who text Kevin. And we see the people who text Violetta. Kevin's people drinking a lot of beers. That's very good. Worried about Apple spying on them. So a little paranoid. Could be the eighth beer. Yeah, I don't know where the tipping point is. Is it six beers you become hyper paranoid?
630 says I'm with Violetta. Okay, I'll give her one.
Sure. Somebody's throwing you the bird from their apple. So what kind of phone do you have, Kevin? Can we ask? Do you have an iPhone?
No. I'm a Samsung guy.
What do you got? Samsung guy. All right.
Galaxy S8.
Wow, look at that. You're trying to get as many. I like the way you work it. Trying to get as many.
I do have an iPad.
Yeah.
iPads are
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, iPads are wonderful.
Apple does a nice tablet.
They do. They do. And I've had an iPhone for a long time. I have no problem with it. I don't update. Because here's what happens. I always hear people tell me they update. They put in the latest update and then something's wrong.
I know. I get these alerts like upgrade now and I just hit later, later, later.
Right.
Sometimes I accidentally hit okay, upgrade. And nothing really bad has ever happened. I'm like, the phone's fine.
Yeah.
No reason to risk it.
No, I wait because the new update will come out and everybody will be, oh, I got update right away. I'll wait a couple weeks.
Right. Like, there's a new feature on the photo editing app where you can add like this filter and it's really cool. I'm like, okay, I don't care.
I don't edit any photos on my phone. I don't, Nothing. None of that. All right, listen, we got to do this. Then, very exciting, the first newscast of the night from Rob Martier is happening. We may have a little more anger from Violetta and Kevin. You never know what could happen as we continue here on the Rokan Show on WGN. Are you okay, Rob?
I think I'll make it.
All right, good.
Yeah, you know, take a sip of water during the break and it kind of lingers.
That's a problem. It comes back to bite you. Well, welcome. Good to see you. Usually I only see you in passing when I'm in here in the afternoon.
It's always a treat when you and I are together.
Yeah, it is. It's an unusual news schedule today because Judy was a host earlier. If people are wondering, where's Judy Pilak? She hosted this afternoon, so Kim stayed late and Rob came in early, and that's how the news. It's all teamwork up there in
the
newsroom.
It really relates to our versatility up here on 7.
I think
we've got a great crew up here, especially Judy, myself, and Kim.
Well, yeah, you three are the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Best. Present company, always the best. Those other people, I don't even know who they are. You can ask me who does news the rest of the day? No idea.
Steve who? Bertrand? What?
No, never heard of him.
No.
Never heard of him.
No, he's good people.
Holidays are right around, the Christmas is right around the corner. Hanukkah's done. So hopefully you had a wonderful Hanukkah. If you're celebrating Christmas and you're still trying to shop, are you shopping, Rob? The boys
done.
Are older.
Done.
Is it easier to shop for them now?
Much easier. They get cash.
Oh, really?
Which they greatly appreciate.
Yes.
And I do still fill their stockings. Now, here's the thing. I went out today to, over to our Walgreens and spent no less than $144.
What?
On stocking stuffers for four kids.
Wow.
And it was just munchies, like beef jerkies and chocolate and like ornaments.
Wow.
$144.
For the stockings.
For the stockings.
Beef jerky can get pricey. That's understandable.
It does. Yeah, beef jerky. Kevin's right. Yeah, the jerky gets a little expensive.
Is that right?
No, it does.
You going for the designer jerky, or you just go for a regular
just a small pack's
jerky.
Like $7.99.
Yeah, for beef jerky?
Yeah, the Alberto beef jerky.
Alberto? Yeah, Alberto's good. You got Jack Link's. Yeah, all that good stuff.
I like to open my jerky and dry it out even more for a day before I eat it.
I don't like it that dry.
Get yourself a dehydrator.
Well, I could just leave the bag open.
Well, I guess you could do that. That's easier.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound as high tech. As a woman who likes to update all her software, I would
Let's
think...
Let's not go there. I'm so done with this conversation.
I thought you would just want to use a dehydrator. So, see, this is how out of the loop I am. I'm in the loop on a lot of things. But for Kevin to make the statement, beef jerky has gotten expensive, and everybody else to go, yep, that's right. I'm like, Where do I live that I don't know that beef jerky is? I consider beef jerky like something I would get at a truck stop for a buck.
No, those days are long.
Dude,
the only thing you're getting for a buck are like those weird pickled hot dogs that I have no idea how anybody eats those.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat one of those.
I always ask the guy, like, people buy these, it flies off the shelves, man.
That's
I'm like, oh,
crazy.
God.
No. Well, there's a taste for everything.
It looks like a hot dog that's being pickled like in a plastic package.
Yeah.
It's
well, my
disgusting.
Wife gets pickled bologna. She gets that from Michigan.
Really?
Yeah, she grew up eating pickled bologna. So
it's kind of the same thing. I love bologna.
Big
bologna guy.
Every day from first through eighth grade, I had a bologna sandwich. Now I can't eat bologna. If you put a gun to my head, I probably wouldn't be able to eat it.
Fried bologna? Oh, so good.
What am I, Elvis?
So good.
It tastes like a hot dog, doesn't it? That's the urban legend.
It's seasoned a little different.
All right. That's what I hear. All right. So Rob bought a lot of munchies, spent a lot of money. People are spending money. So you would say, this actually leads right into this. You would say it's worth spending a little money for a quality jerky. Is that where we're going with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So you got to
I mean, in the realm of beef jerky, you get what you pay for.
Okay. So
yeah,
we want
to go high end.
Well, see, and that's what I wanted to talk to people about. Things you are willing to spend a little more on or things that you wish you had spent some more money on. Because I was looking, I found this story, and I'm a big proponent when it comes to shoes. I'm not a guy who likes to, I won't buy shoes a lot, but when I do, I spend some money on shoes so that they last, so they're quality. My wife, on the other hand, will go to some of these chains and spend like $12 on a pair of shoes, and then in a week complain that her feet hurt and the shoes have fallen apart. It's like, well, you spent $12 on a pair of shoes. What did you
expect?
Well,
but for girls, it's a little different because you need versatility. So I'll buy maybe more shoes at a discounted price so that I can change them with outfits.
But can't you... I'm all about, you know, having versatility, but can't you get, like, good shoes on sale rather than... Or the cheap shoes, you just treat them as disposable?
My definition of a good shoe is different than yours because you said durable, comfortable.
Well, comfortable and lasts.
Right. No, I want it to look good. And,
well, I want that too.
But less more like less than me probably.
Sure, probably. You know. Well, I, you know, I'm not going to.
But as
no,
I get older,
comfort
is key. Comfort is key as you get older.
Because I know it, Violetta. In your advanced years,
I'm noticing
look
it.
For that.
I wear a lot more flat shoes than heels these days, and sweaters.
Yeah, we wanted to talk to you about that. It's good because you're not scuffing up the floors like you used to. So everybody appreciates that. So sometimes you have to think of things as an investment, according to this. So this was on the internet. So people are giving their own opinions, but I liked some of them. A good winter jacket was one of the things that people almost unanimously said you have to spend money on.
Yes.
Especially here.
I don't know.
What do you mean no? How you go outside? But do you go outside much?
I'm always hot, so I feel like if I'm going to buy like a $500 winter coat, it's the same as like a $100 winter coat to me.
Yeah, but if a coat that costs $200 is going to keep you exponentially warmer than a coat that costs $50, and you're in a climate like this,
plus you don't buy them often, so
right.
It's going to last you at least two, maybe three seasons. My winter coat I've had forever, but it's my favorite winter coat, and I will not get rid of it.
See? So there you go. That's an investment. You got to break it down. For an ugly Christmas sweater, let's say, I'm not going to spend what I would on a nice suit.
Right.
You know, because one, I don't need it all the time. I'm not going to wear it all the time. I need it, for 2 weeks a year, I need it.
Yeah, but see, I love, like, I don't wear them that often, but I like having a nice suit.
Of course. That's what I'm saying. A suit you spend money on.
Yeah.
An ugly Christmas sweater you don't.
Right.
Because if you go and buy a good suit, it's going to fit you better. The drape is going to be nice.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be good.
Ugly sweaters have become expensive because everybody has ugly sweater parties.
Yeah.
Like if you look online, if you just Google ugly sweater, you're dropping like $50 on an ugly sweater.
Yeah, go to Walmart.
Where when it
go
first
to,
yeah. became like popular, it was all about just finding like a cheap $5 sweater.
Yeah, going
or something.
To the good, now, going to Goodwill and finding an ugly sweater.
Right. But now it's like people make them ugly. You know what
right.
I mean? They're like, they buy an ugly sweater made by Ralph Lauren.
This one was under $30, the one I got.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Walmart has them, like Violetta said. I saw some funny ones at Walmart for like $25. So you don't have, but you're right, some of the sites, when I first Googled it before I found this one, I was like, I'm not spending $80 on an ugly sweater.
Right.
You got to be out of your cotton picking mind.
So what else should people spend money on?
Well, I'll take a call because this was next on the list. Becky wants to jump on. Hi, Becky.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We are great. So what are you willing to spend money on?
I would scrape together every dime I have and give up cable for a good mattress. Gotta have a good mattress.
Yes. Yeah.
Agreed wholeheartedly. Yeah. That is,
or as my father used to call it, the workbench. But
wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we got to put that in the lexicon, the workbench. Oh man. Very nice. Becky, thank you for the product and for a new phrase.
Well, mattresses, honestly, you're there a lot, and to be uncomfortable all night is just, it's not worth it.
Right. I never understood when people spend money on the headboard and not a good mattress. Right. I'm like, how much did you spend on that?
Cuz I could get, you know what? Listen, Joe is in the Christmas spirit. You know what? Hang on, Becky, because you made us all laugh with the workbench comment, which I know Kevin is jotting down and is going to break out sometime over the holidays at a bar. Hey, want to go back and see my workbench?
Just built it. Yeah,
just
no
built
big
it.
Deal.
Do my best woodwork there. You know what I'm saying. Wink, wink. We're going to send you a holiday happiness box featuring Sweet Alley's sweet and savory gluten-free treats. You can visit Sweet Alley's
bakery. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can go to their bakeries in Hinsdale and Glenview for your holiday celebration. So hang on, Becky, because it's Christmas time. Good
Thank
for you,
you
Joe.
Thank you so much. You guys all have a great
Thank you. You too, Becky.
Becky now for winning that prize is probably going to go to the where tonight.
Maybe she got somebody she wants to share the gluten-free savory treats with. Take her to the workbench.
There's no eating in bed. Not right. When you have a good mattress that you spend a lot of money on.
I don't know if you have a good mattress, the crumbs will just bounce right off it. Just boom. Yes. So mattresses are good. Spend money on jeans. I have this debate with people all the time. They say you got to spend money on jeans.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Otherwise, you're out there looking like, President Obama throwing the first pitch with his grandpa
with
jeans
the mom
on.
Jeans on.
It's like, come on. I'm telling you, it'll make a whole difference. And you don't even have to spend that much. It's just finding like a right fit. Like sometimes, yeah, some people might have to pay a little bit more, but no, jeans go a long way.
Even for girls, because for girls, they typically wear tighter jeans.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a lower quality jean, they're just too tight or too loose in the wrong spot, it just doesn't work good. They're not comfortable. So you need tight, expensive, or more expensive jeans.
Rob, you say no?
No.
Yeah. What do you wear, Rob? I'm a Levi's guy.
Levi's.
That's it.
But Levi's are expensive.
Levi's can be pricey.
I'm a 36-32. Macy's had a great sale last week.
Yeah, pick them up then.
Three pairs of jeans. It was the friends and family thing. I've got a Macy's card, some more.
Boom.
Off.
Look at that.
Done.
That's it.
Jeans for the year.
That's how you do it. Yeah. Pennies will do. You buy one, you get one half off, something like that, or they'll drop the prices. I've always been Levi's.
I'm a big Old Navy guy when it comes to jeans.
Really?
Yeah. I found $5 jeans at Old Navy, and they were my favorite. But then I got holes in them. I had to throw them out.
See, and that goes against your former statement.
But, well, those were a rarity. I was like, wow, these fit great. I love them.
Who has $5 jeans?
They were on sale. They were like,
that's
just
amazing.
They were just there. My size, right in front. It was like magical.
Well, they called to you then. You have to get them.
You know what happened, actually? A snowplow had wet me from head to toe. Like, drove by right when I got out of my car, head to toe. And I was right outside an Old Navy, and I'm like, I need to go change. I'm soaked.
Do you think that's their scam? Do you think they hire this private snowplow driver to just be outside?
Inside job.
Yeah, I think so, too. Smells like a conspiracy to me. And then they put up five. They look out, they go, oh, here comes a woman. She looks like, all right, we got her size.
I would have paid a lot more for them because I needed them.
All right. Let's take a look. We'll do this. We'll do a couple more of these things that things are worth splurging on. Oh. 312-981-7200. That's how you get a hold of us here at WGN. We are talking about things that are worth splurging on. Rob agrees with me that Levi's are fine. And not to skimp on shoes. We're getting a number of texts. People, Brett Favre obviously texting in. He's saying he only wears Wranglers, this texter. So good for you, Brett.
Open in the front.
Yeah. He wears chaps. That's all I wear. I like chaps because it's breezy, you know, when I'm going to the workshop to get on the workbench. Speaking of workbench, work boots, somebody from the 815. If you're on your feet all day, you're not skimping on your work boots.
Don't wear them in the workbench, though. Or maybe.
Well, you never know. You got to get traction. You don't want to slip. What if the workshop floor is all covered in dust or whatnot? You don't want to fall down. This was a good one. Now, I don't have any, but I'm going to take this texter from the 815's word on this. Never skimp on tattoos. Cheap tattoos are probably... That's probably a very good suggestion. That's why you see those billboards for tattoo removal with the misspellings. Because much like, as you said, with the jeans, you get what you pay for. Or beef jerky, you get what you pay for. Yeah, with tattoos, I'm guessing you get what you pay for.
I got a guy who'll do it for $20. I went to a tattoo shop. They wanted $300 for my tattoo.
That's it. Really?
Yeah. I got $20. He said he learned to do them in prison.
Oh, yeah, if the guy's got a crochet needle and finger paint, you probably don't want to get your tattoo from that guy.
Yeah.
If the
tattoo's on his neck are all misspelled and all in the same color blue, you don't really want...
But he said he knew how to do it. He's ready. He's all ready to... He said, all I got to do is sit down. He could do a skyscraper or anything I wanted.
Oh, is that what you want, a skyscraper?
No, I was going to do a Bible verse across my forehead. Because I think that... Then it shows everybody that I love Jesus when I walk down the street.
Oh, what do
does
you
do
for
animals?
Work?
Of course he does animals. He does a pig. Well, he does just a nose, though, and then you kind of interpret it that it's a pig. But that pig nose is only $12, and he said he could do it the whole size of my back.
That's affordable.
Yeah, $12 for a whole back tattoo? That's art. That's art. That's a statement.
Wow, so there you go. Now we got a break. After my weird tattoo guy, we got a break. So we'll do this, then it's news time on WGN. I'm sorry, Rob. I'm talking to Rob, yep, and not realizing he's not done with the news yet.
That's all right.
So I apologize. That's all right. I know you got work to do up there.
And they've rigged this system. They know what's going on. They know that we like to yap off the air.
Too much yappery. That's the problem. Too much yappery. Like, we don't talk enough on the air. We got to talk off the air. Some people go, how do you talk like that? I don't know, because I like to run my mouth. It's Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. They will be back January 3rd. So until then, you got me in the afternoons, which will be fun. Not Christmas Day. There's some fine holiday programming. And I know for a fact that Violetta, Ro, and Anna, and you guys have put together an original radio production for the Christmas Day broadcast. Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. We won't talk about it. I'm not going to give away any specifics, but I'm just saying I've heard.
It's top secret.
Yes, oh yeah.
You have to tune in.
Of course you do. I just said it was a radio production. I don't think people are going to be, you know, I don't think that's a spoiler, that if they turn on the radio, they'll hear a radio production. Now, Kevin, were you part of this or no?
Yeah, why am I blanking? I'm like, forgot what we did.
It doesn't matter. I'm not saying anything about it. I just know. I know the guys have been working on it. I saw
Brian
in fixing it up today.
Yes.
Doing some post-production work on it, so that's very nice. And we did, Cody and I did one for our show, so you'll be able to hear that too.
There's a sports one as well. I'll plug that one. I was in on that one. I just feel like I've had so many holiday things, I'm like forgetting which one was which. But yeah, there's a holiday one with Dave Ennett and Adam Hoge, Sam Pilgadovich, and Jared Payton and myself.
Well, that'll be good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the programming on Christmas Day. I don't know when they're starting that. Are they starting that on Christmas Eve? I should probably know that.
It starts Christmas morning.
Morning. Yeah, all right.
Could pull up the schedule.
We used to do all kinds of stuff. It used to run. I don't know. I'm not working Christmas Eve.
It starts at 6 a.m. We'll start with Dean. It'll move on through Cochran from 9 to 10.
Nice. Look at you pulling up the schedule.
Yeah, it's A Wonderful Left. Bill and Wendy, Bertrand, John Williams. They'll replay the Holiday Spectacular, which aired on the 15th. That was fun. Row will be 4 to 5, followed by the Sports Show 5 to 6. Then Lou, then Brian Noonan. That's you.
There you go. What time is that
7
on?
7 to 8.
7 to 8?
Yes.
What do you know about that?
Patty Vasquez is after you. And then the download, we go back to live programming at 9 o'clock with Carmen and Harry.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Carmen and Harry working Christmas night. There you go.
That makes sense.
Yeah, good for them. Thanks for jumping in. That's the one day I always feel bad for people who have to work on Christmas. I work pretty much every other holiday. I don't care. But thankfully, Christmas has always been one of those where I haven't had to. But I'll be back on the 26th. I've been watching a lot of holiday movies. Last night, I went to a very cool event that you probably can't go to unless you already have tickets. Fitzgerald's in Berwyn is doing a It's a Wonderful Life pop-up bar, where they've turned their sidebar into Nick's from It's a Wonderful Life. And they've decorated up like that. They have stuff going in the parking lot. And then they run the movie, which was fun. So we went and watched It's a Wonderful Life. And I remembered how much I haven't seen it in a while. We watched it, part of it last week when we were wrapping presents. And it's one of those holiday classics. I don't know. Do you have a favorite holiday movie, Violetti? Do you watch the holiday movies?
Yes.
All right, is this a state secret too? Now, the last two things I've asked Violetta about, she's got, all of a sudden she's shut down. Like, Jody, have you noticed that? She's got very defensive.
No, I'm
and
not.
I don't, know why.
Answer.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't asking you to disclose any secrets about like the Rokon Show Christmas special. I just said you were doing one, and you were like, oh, did they tell you not to talk to me about it?
Sometimes I just ask Violetta how her weekend was, and that's sort of the response you get. It's like,
yeah, that seemed very cagey.
Her deepest, darkest secret. She's like, why do you want to know?
I would imagine if I asked that question to anybody else, do you have a favorite holiday movie? Most people go, yep. She went,
Well, I guess what was hooking me up is favorite. I just like holiday movies in general.
There's not one go-to that you say, all right, I have to watch this one.
Well, I watch the Hallmark Channel 24/7 at my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially on the holidays.
Oh, sure.
But I watch The Grinch or Home Alone.
Okay.
Or I've actually never seen A Wonderful Life.
You've never seen It's a Wonderful Life?
No.
How can that be?
I thought I watched it, but it's actually Life is Beautiful.
I don't know, like, what that one is.
Yeah. I just saw It's a Wonderful Life probably 2 years ago.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I'm sure I like have seen snippets, but I actually sat down and watched it from start to finish.
Did you enjoy it?
I love it. Now I've watched it like a handful of times. See? After I saw it the first time.
Plus, I like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah.
And the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, see, that wasn't so hard, was it?
No.
Did you think we were going to bash your choices?
You would have if I wasn't defensive off the bat.
That's not true. That's not true. Don't get your listener coming at me. Don't get your fan to come.
Leo.
Yeah, Leo. Leo had, you know what's nice? Obviously, I've been very nice to you because Leo has not. Leo has not jumped to your defense. Not that you need it, but
no, I don't.
You don't
this
need
has
it
been
at
nice.
All. All right. Well, since Kevin loves It's a Wonderful Life and I enjoy It's a Wonderful Life, I'll ask Joe. Joe, do you have a favorite holiday movie?
Yeah, I'd go with The Grinch.
The Grinch. See how easy that was, Violetta. Joe, I'd go with The Grinch.
But the new one with Jim Carrey.
Don't like that at all.
Come on.
Oh, I love that one.
Sorry.
It's a new one, yeah.
Classic Grinch. The cartoon.
Home Alone.
The cartoon.
Home Alone's probably one of the best out
there. Yes, the original Violetta.
I've never seen that one.
You've never seen that either? Do you even celebrate Christmas?
Not really.
I guess not.
Yeah. Well, my Christmas, I'm Orthodox, so my Christmas is on January 7th.
So you have time.
Then, right, but,
all right, so
but
you
my
have to
Christmas
watch.
Is more religious.
Okay, well then come to our Christmas, which is kind of a mix of religion and commerce. What does that mean? More religious.
Like we go to midnight mass and that's pretty much, that's it.
A lot of people do that on Christmas.
Okay.
Lots of folks do that. Well, anyway, so watch It's a Wonderful Life. And then you've never seen the Grinch cartoon?
I've seen clips of it.
See, this makes me feel
YouTube videos.
Unbelievably old. But that's the classic. That's the one on which all the other is based. I had to watch the Jim Carrey one yesterday in school. We had movie day for the children's.
That was hilarious. Movie day in school.
Awful.
You were laughing a lot, weren't you?
I was not, and the first graders did not care for it. We ended up stopping it because they were all squirrely. They didn't want to watch the movie.
But today,
during reading putties, we put on the cartoon version of Frosty the Snowman. They were mesmerized. So what did we learn? First graders like cartoons. They
yes.
don't like live-action Jim Carrey, freakiness.
I love the little baby Grinch when they have a flashback and he's in his little suit. Oh, gosh, he's so cute.
Well, the reason I brought this all up is, and to make myself feel ancient and out of touch because, you guys have never seen the original Grinch. It's a Wonderful Life was once thought by the FBI to be communist propaganda. That's right. I'll tell you all about it after we check the traffic trouble spots. With Violetta Podramatic, who has never seen the original Grinch. Boris Karloff, Violetta.
What?
All right. Never mind. Go on.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
Not of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind.
Yeah, we really haven't been playing much Christmas music, Joe.
Run, run, Rudolph.
Sorry, can I chime in real quick?
You can, of course. What's going on?
Oh, no, nothing serious about the road.
I was like, oh, my gosh.
No, but I forgot.
Every road has been closed.
This song just reminded me, my favorite Christmas movie is obviously Santa Claus, the first one.
See, I thought of Home Alone when this song came on.
I thought about Santa Claus because the kid's in the room dancing to it, and the mom's like, he still believes in Santa. He's like, dance, Santa. Anyway, that's what's happening with the song.
There you go. Well, look, we jogged a holiday memory for Violetta.
Yes, you did.
That's what it's all about. All right, I got to tell you, because, I watched It's a Wonderful Life last night. So, according to the FBI, the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, despite winning or getting 5 Oscar nominations, including one for Best Picture, and being inducted into the Library of Congress. When the movie came out, J. Edgar Hoover's communist hunting agents thought it was a Trojan horse sneaking anti-American propaganda to the masses. Now, think of it. Kevin, you've watched it a bunch of times. Think back and try to figure out how it could be construed as a communist plot.
Maybe because they all come together and they're all throwing in dough together towards the end, I guess. It's like a group F. I don't know.
That's a very good guess.
It's like them against the band who's trying to,
There you go. Now you're on it. Now you're right on the track. Yes, it's because, they say two of the screenwriters were, quote, according to the FBI, very close to known communists, and one on occasion practically lived with known communists and were observed eating lunch with known communists. So if they hang out with communists, they wrote a movie. But more to your point, Kevin, they say it represented an anti-banking mentality in an effort to discredit bankers. So they cast Lionel Barrymore as Mr. Potter in the Scrooge-type role and made him very mean.
Evil man.
Yes. And so the FBI thought that was trying to influence people to hate the banking industry because, he was so mean. Now, on face value, according to this, the plot wouldn't work if the crowd were cheering for Potter to repossess Bailey's business. Of course, he's the villain. You always make the villain mean. FBI claimed that according to his quote-unquote informants, it was a common trick used by the communists.
Classic commie maneuver.
Yep, of course it is. Thank God the FBI back then was looking into communism. So the report claimed that the movie, quote, deliberately maligned the upper class, attempting to show the people who had money were mean and despicable characters, end quote. The FBI also argued that the movie could have portrayed Mr. Potter as following the rules as laid down by the state bank examiners in connection with making loans. Yeah, that has a recipe for box office success.
Mr. Potter is just fine.
Wow, my tattoo guy came back. I don't know where he came from.
I like the tattoo
You like the tattoo guy? I don't know what happened. I don't know where he came from.
Oh, I love It's a Wonderful Life. Hate them bankers. One tried to take my farm. That's why I have Mr. Potter tattooed on my back, right under the pig nose. He's a pig banker. I'm not a commie either. I don't like communists. Don't cotton to them.
So anyway, they finally, after looking at this, the report was given to the House Un-American Activities Committee, you know, Joe McCarthy's crew, and they chose not to take any action. I just think these FBI people were film critics because they were at the L.A. office. So everybody in L.A. wants to be in the film industry. Have you ever been to a Starbucks in Los Angeles? Nobody works during the day. Starbucks crammed with people with laptops, everybody writing their next screenplay. Everybody. Uh-oh. Somebody, we got another holiday communist story from Katie in Rockford, one of the most dangerous cities in America. Hi, Katie.
I know. It ain't that the truth? Well, I tell you what. I was born on Pearl Harbor Day, so I just turned 76.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, sweetheart. My dad flew a Corsair off the Lexington in World War II. But anyway, J. Edgar Hoover, late 40s and early 50s, you know, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, they were blackballed because people started rumors that they were communists because she was from Cuba.
Oh,
and
geez.
They could not work. It was terrible. And I loved them. Oh, I love Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. And then also, you know, J. Edgar Hoover, how crooked he was.
Oh, sure.
Poor Martin Luther King. He made up things and they would send letters and make things up that he was cheating on his wife. They tried to do all that.
Oh, yeah. That was not a stellar time for the Bureau. But
no, Jay,
thankfully, that has passed.
A building after him. You know, I mean, he was bad.
Well,
but anyway,
thankfully, we have passed
Christmas.
That. Merry Christmas, you, Katie. Happy birthday again.
God bless you.
You as well. Thanks. So there you go. Kevin, next time you watch It's a Wonderful Life, make sure you disperse your wealth to everybody else. You're obviously just a godless commie.
That's right.
I'm guilty. I may go home and watch it tonight just to watch it tonight too. Yeah, just see what's going on.
I've kind of been putting off Christmas movies because all my family gets in from out of town today, so I figured today through like probably the day after Christmas, it'll be nothing but 24-hour Christmas movies on TV. So I didn't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
you know.
We haven't. My wife and daughter broke them out right after Thanksgiving. I avoided them until the night last week. I was wrapping presents with my wife, and she was like, "You have to watch White Christmas," because I had never seen White Christmas. Rob, you ever seen White Christmas? Are you a musical?
One of my favorites.
Is it really? See,
yep.
I had never seen it, and we went and saw the stage production over here. Broadway in Chicago had it at the Cadillac, and it was wonderful. Just wonderful. All the Broadway and Chicago shows are terrific. So I went and I saw White Christmas. I was like, oh, it's all right. I really enjoyed it at the theater. And my wife said, well, you have to. And so many people I know were as gobsmacked as I was when Violetta said she had never seen It's a Wonderful Life or the original Grinch. I got that reaction. So don't feel singled out, Violetta. I would get that reaction all the time when people heard I hadn't seen White Christmas.
I haven't seen that either.
Well, I figured as much because you hadn't seen the
What's
other
wrong
two.
With you guys?
I think I've seen it like just sort of in the background. My dad's like, this is a classic.
It is a classic.
And I just kind of like,
we need some snow.
I'm a big Danny Kaye fan.
Christmas.
That's why.
Are you a Danny Kaye fan?
I like Danny Kaye.
I enjoyed the movie quite a bit. I really did. I liked him. I liked like Bing dancing it up. Then my wife had trivia facts about it as the night went on, about how one of the lead actresses was anorexic.
Oh, Vera Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how do you know that?
Her waist is about 15 inches around in that
movie. She's tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Very tiny. But that was, I looked at Jimmy Stewart last night in It's a Wonderful Life, and the guy must have weighed 87 pounds.
Is White Christmas also a movie pushing communism onto the American society?
Well, no, this is all about the Army, Kevin. These are fine former American soldiers in helping out their former general.
Oh,
it's
right.
Very American.
Okay.
Very American.
I'll watch it for you two tonight.
Yeah, there's no communism involved in that, as far as I know.
That's what we said about It's a Wonderful Life.
That is what we said about It's a Wonderful Life. Oh, my goodness. Well, you never know. What's the lesson here? Yeah, watch these movies at your own risk, because there could be communists lurking everywhere. Yeah. Fog hat? No, Boston. Boston, smoke. Wow. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. Rowan Anna will be back on January 3rd. I will be keeping their chairs warm during the holidays. Very, very excited to be here with you. Blackhawk hockey coming up at 7 o'clock. Chris Bowden with the pregame, then John and Troy. All the action from Dallas. Blackhawks taking on the Stars. 0-2 this year against Dallas, so we will see if the Blackhawks can pull out a win tonight. It should be an exciting game. My prediction from earlier, Kevin has marked it down. I don't know where sports guys mark things down that they're going to keep. Patrick Kane will get his 300th goal tonight late in the second period. That is my prediction. Based on what? Just a hunch. Call it a hunch, by gut instinct.
We'll be monitoring your prediction.
I hope so. I hope everybody's listening to the game because John and Troy, the best in the business, as far as I'm concerned. People out on Michigan Avenue, it's always fun during doing the show on Michigan Avenue during the holidays. Families wandering back and forth, waving at Joe. This exciting waving at me. We had a group of teenagers out here earlier, young hooligans. Kevin and Violetta, you missed it. They made a human pyramid.
Wow.
And then I taunted them because they only had two levels of the human pyramid, and I said I needed to go higher, and because they were young, teenage boys with no fear of hurting themselves, they did go up to a third level.
Yeah, wow. Not impressed. The two-level pyramid, I'm not impressed.
Yeah, two-level pyramid is just, I'm going to crawl over you to get to the refrigerator. That's not a pyramid.
Boys doing the pyramid, huh?
Yeah, I asked them if they were a gymnastics team. Some said yes, some said no. So I think they were all just, they were probably nipping on some Boone's Farm on the way down.
Crazy kids.
Took the train in with some of the screw top cheap wine that they bought at wherever you can buy underage kids.
I'm sure they're just fine. They didn't do that.
They might have, Violetta. I'm not.
Their parents probably think they're at a movie. Just don't blow their cover here.
So right now, every parent of a teenage boy who's out with a group of his friends is going, was that my kid? No, probably not. There's a good chance it wasn't. There was a big group. A couple had guitars. I'm gonna really narrow it down now.
Oh, gosh.
So if your kid is out with some other boys and a few of them have guitars, they're not going to sing at the church holiday banquet.
I told my parents I saw every movie on the planet. Really? We're going to the movies again.
Wow.
And then when they asked for a review, you were like, nah, it was whatever.
Yeah, not too good. Didn't like it.
My parents didn't even ask for the name. They didn't know what the heck was going on.
Wow. So wait a minute. This coming from the same woman who a minute ago I asked if she had a holiday movie. She didn't want to share that.
No, but I didn't actually go to the movies. That's the whole point.
That's
here.
What I'm saying. But now you wouldn't share if you had a favorite holiday movie, which is an innocuous question. But now you're sharing the fact that you lied to your parents repeatedly that you could go out.
I just recently admitted a lot of my childhood fibs.
Oh boy, why were you? Was there a third degree?
How long did that take?
Yeah, really?
No, a couple days. You know, you get them kind of in a good mood, and you're like, huh, you know, it's a funny story.
Wow.
Yeah, right. You sneak it in when it's like a late night.
Sure. Everybody's and they're half asleep. Fun. It's like when my daughter would ask me a question when I was asleep. You know, she went, Dad, can I do this? Oh, well, you said yes.
Hey, sign this report card before you go to bed.
And I'm like, what? Huh? What do you mean I said yes? Oh, I asked you. When did you ask me? Last night when you were watching TV.
Three bourbons deep.
Three bourbons deep. Wow. That's the name of my first album, Three Bourbons Deep. All right. Let's see. I saw this and thought of you, Kevin, because I know you love to dine. I know you love fine dining. I know you love casual dining, all sorts of dining. There is a fast food dollar menu war coming.
Okay. Man, I know McDonald's is, well, I don't want to bury your lead. But
No. That's one of them. McDonald's is coming
back.
Up. Taco Bell is adding some dollar items. The $1 stacker, quesadilla-like egg sandwich, to its dollar all-day menu. They're planning on adding 20 different $1 items at Taco Bell.
Well, yeah, I've been out of the fast food game for about 2 years now.
Is that right?
But I still pay close attention. I've had a couple slip-ups here and there, a couple McDonald's visits, you know.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'm out of the fast food game, but I like to monitor the fast food news.
You have to monitor because you need to know what's going on in culture. I like you, have been out of the fast food game for a while. Right. But I will say this. I had gallbladder surgery a month or so ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when I came out, because I couldn't eat, obviously, right before. When I came out of that surgery, the only thing I had a taste for was a regular McDonald's hamburger. Just a straight up hamburger, nothing fancy.
I love McDonald's.
That's all I had a taste for. It was so.
Did you go
so
get it?
Of course. Well, no, I had my wife go get it because I was incapacitated.
Wow.
I was not able to walk.
That's true love.
Yeah. She said, you have to eat something. Do you want something to eat? I said, well, honestly, this is all I have a taste for. And so, you know.
I'm kind of addicted to McDonald's, I think.
Are you really?
Yeah, because my grandma's in town and she doesn't like anything. So when I give her McDonald's, it's like it lights up her face, and then it's like the only thing I feed her when I hang out with her all day.
It's like a parent giving a child candy
right.
all the time.
She is my child, basically, when she's here. And
well, this
so
is
I'm
a
like,
silly
you want
question.
Some fries? I'll get you some fries.
Do they have, where? And tell me again where your grandma is from. What country does your grandma?
Serbia.
Do they have, this is a dumb question. I'm prefacing this by, do they have McDonald's
no,
in Serbia?
It's not a dumb question. There is a McDonald's in Serbia, but my grandma's, we're from the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
So no, where we're from. The nearest McDonald's probably 4 hours away.
Oh, so for her, McDonald's is like, woohoo, this is America.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Well, she's not exactly like them. She worked here. But just in general, she's old. She doesn't like anything. Like, yeah. You know, you get to that point where you just hate everything. So she's kind of there. Except for
how old do you have to be? Because I know a lot of young people who are kind of like that.
Oh. Well, she's 82.
That's old enough to hate everything.
Yeah.
She's seen a lot. Well, when you get to be 82, you've seen a lot of stuff, so you can make that judgment.
I might be over-exaggerating.
That she hates everything?
Yeah, but... Yeah. She does like the McDonald's french fries. Then I end up eating. Who's going to pull up to McDonald's and just get her french fries?
Well,
then I get a cheeseburger. Then you can't eat the cheeseburger without a Coke. I get a Coke. I mean, come on.
Well, good news for you, Violetta. On January 4th, McDonald's is launching its $1, $2, $3 menu, a lineup of low-cost items that includes the Happy Meal as a value item for the first time. Children in America, rejoice.
Wow.
You can now get a Happy Meal for $3. Parents of children, rejoice. Because now you're not spending. I haven't bought a Happy Meal in like 19 years.
Happy Meals were the hardest thing for me to convince my parents to get me. They would never get me a Happy Meal.
Well, sure, because you're paying for the goofy toy.
Who cares? It was awesome. You got a little plastic or a cardboard box.
I still get the
toy
Happy
in
Meal
there.
Just because it's convenient.
Do they still give you the box? Like
yeah.
The
oh yeah.
Yeah,
case?
With the M as like the handle.
Oh, and you get a little car in there.
Yeah. And now they've made it healthy. I guess that you could get apples and milk if you want.
I have a pro tip because I do frequent the McDonald's.
All right, pro tip, kids.
You can ask them, I don't know if this is legal or not, but you can ask them, no apple slices or yogurt, extra fries, and they give you extra fries.
Wait, what comes in a Happy Meal?
Well, in the Happy Meal, you get the sandwich or whatever the meal is, the fries.
Some nuggets,
but they're a miniature fries, not like a small. They're smaller than a small.
Oh, so if you tell them you don't want the healthy stuff.
Yeah.
You just load me up on carbs.
Because then they go, apple slices or yogurt, and I'm like, no, cut both of those, extra fries. And they'll do it.
That works?
Yeah.
And then you get the tiny drink, right?
Yeah, the tiny drink. But it's okay because I'm trying to lay off the Coke.
Sure. Well, that makes sense. If you're eating double fries, you don't want to drink a Coke. That's silly. That's crazy talk now. So, Violetta, good news. You'll be able to get all of that for $3 for the first time ever. Jack in the Box. I'm a fan of Jack in the Box. Your thoughts on Jack in the Box, Kevin, as a man who followed fast
food? Fried tacos, delicious.
The best. I introduced my daughter to the fried tacos this summer when we were driving back from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
She had never had them, even despite living her young years in Los Angeles, and then being out there 2 summers as an intern, she never ate the fried taco. Have you ever had a fried taco, Joe?
I have not. I've never been to Jack in the Box.
Oh, my God.
I would say, other than the fried taco, though, the rest is nothing like crazy good.
Right. It's average fast food, but that taco, the 2 tacos for $1.
Yeah, it's great. Burger King for a while had a fried taco situation going on. It wasn't the same, but it was still a fried taco.
Yeah, but there's something about that mystery brown stuff.
And they have their hot sauce.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like a proprietary hot sauce they got at Jack in the Box.
It's unbelievable. And they put it right in there. Put the yellow cheese and then just drop it in the fryer.
I'm going to eat so much food when I leave.
I don't know what that meat is. That's not real meat, though.
That's fine.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So they're all coming, and they're saying that because McDonald's has decided to make this bold move, that now, while it's good news for consumers, other fast food restaurants are panicking. Because they're thinking, well, if McDonald's is doing it, we're not going to make any money, but we have to do it to compete.
It's a copycat league, the fast food game.
Boy, I'm learning a lot of good phrases today. Workbench, which we learned earlier from our lovely listener, and now Copycat League, the fast food business.
Workbench, by the way, she was referring to a bed.
A bed. The bed is a workbench. A good mattress.
That's where you do your hardest work.
Sure. It's where you lay the wood down. It's where you do the...
What that all, might have been too far.
You think?
That's where you begin the process of building a family.
That's right. Oh, building at the work. But yeah. Look at that, Kevin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
you put it much more poetically.
It did.
I just want...
Texter's coming in with Burger King still has fried tacos.
Oh, do they really?
Well, apparently.
See, I try to stay in the fast food game, but I'm kind of out of it because I'm not actually
in
it.
Well, that's good. Oh, you can also order a regular burger with a Big Mac sauce.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an insider. You can get the double cheeseburger with the Big Mac sauce.
But you can also get Big Mac sauce on the side. They give you a little container, and I dip my fries in it. It's so good.
Wow.
I eat it too often. Honestly, I need to stop. I think I might.
Yeah, you might need an intervention.
I do, I think.
Maybe we have Grimace
you sound
come.
Like me like 3 years ago. Crushing fast food on the reg.
But it's not fast food. It's only McDonald's.
I'm sorry. Did you just revert to a 13-year-old girl, Kevin?
No.
Crushing fast food on the reg?
The regular, yeah.
I know what it means. I just didn't know grown men said it.
I just did. It just rolled off the tongue. I know.
It rolled off the tongue very easily, which kind of scared me a little bit. All right, let's do this. We go blah, blah, blah. We're going to do one more traffic trouble spot check. We'll come back. Blackhawks hockey coming up at 7. We have one last Christmas-related story. We'll get to a couple more things, and then we got to get out of here because Chris Bowden has the Blackhawks pregame coming up right at 7. Right now, she's been giving us traffic all afternoon, while also sharing intimate and not-so-intimate secrets. It's very exciting. All right, that's fine, Joe. I see how you are. You all right? So we'll just leave it. Forget it. Don't panic. He's in there. I made a couple technical errors earlier. Don't worry about it. We were talking about, we got to finish this off because, you know, I hear that a few years ago, Kevin was crushing fast food on the reg. And so we've been talking about that. A lot of texts coming in about Burger King having the Jack in the Box tacos east of the Rockies and west of the Rockies. And Jeremy wants to jump in. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I just wanted to jump in there. I'm probably going to butcher her name.
Violetta Podramatic?
Yeah. Girl, next time, if you love Big Macs, next time you go to McDonald's, order a Big Mac with quarter pounder patties.
Wow.
And when you get that thing, it will look like the picture, and it's delicious. And get a little extra Big Mac sauce on the side because...
Because you have to. Why not?
Because it's delicious.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. I love Big Macs.
A little secret I've always done there for me, so I'm passing it on to you.
So, Jeremy, what do they upcharge you for that?
Like a dollar.
Really?
Worth it.
But, yeah, oh, yeah, for a dollar, it's definitely worth it.
They don't even charge me if I ask for Big Mac sauce on the side.
That's because you're you.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it's delicious, I swear to God. And it looks just like the picture. I mean, it's what it's supposed to look like. You know what I mean?
All right. Now my mouth is watering. Jeremy, thank you.
I'm so hungry.
Drive carefully out there.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Yeah, I don't know if that... I used to...
That's a pro tip right there.
That is a pro tip. Are you going to try it? Can you eat...
Yes.
Could you eat a Big Mac with two quarter pounder patties?
Oh, no chance.
Those are... No.
Watch Violetta. She takes like 3 bites of something and she's done.
But that's the thing. The Big Mac, you cannot put it down. It was literally scientifically made. You put it down for a second and you're like, what am I doing? No.
Yeah, in the fast food Hall of Fame, like that's a first ballot Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure. There's no doubt about it. But... Could you eat it with like double the meat?
No, see, I like pretty much all the other stuff on it. Like I love McDonald's bread and onions and lettuce and the sauce. I mean, the meat itself just kind of is like not that important to me.
Yeah, I think you need a bigger appetite if you're going to go double quarter pounder.
Yeah,
that sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. I'm not poo-pooing it.
If I relapse and go back into the fast food game, I'm doing what he just told us.
Do you think you can relapse just like one day, or you think
once that
you
keep calling it the game?
I don't know why I keep calling it the game.
No, I love it. I appreciate it because you give it a life of its own.
My sister's wedding was on the Oak Brook McDonald's campus. And
did they serve anything there?
Yeah, well, you know how like everybody does late night snacks at weddings
now? Sure,
nowadays?
Yeah, yeah.
Like at midnight, they bring out whatever. So all of a sudden at about midnight or 11:30, whatever it was, the band just kicked in and started playing Cheeseburger in Paradise, and they ran out with silver platters of McDonald's cheeseburgers.
No.
And I'm like, give me them. So I had like 3 or 4.
Well, that'd work. See, but that's a special occasion.
Yeah. It's like being on vacation. Calories don't count.
Right. You're not getting sucked back into the game because you had a couple cheeseburgers.
Exactly.
But But now if the next day you'd woken up and then gone for a couple of breakfast. McGriddles, yeah. And then,
you know, then I would have been in trouble.
Yeah, all of a sudden you backslide. You don't have just your one little incident. And then you go, all right, I got to go. No, that was, oh.
The cheese ready to crunch. Oh, my God.
Yeah, see.
I'm not into that.
You're not into what?
So good.
I really only eat McDonald's.
See, I miss Taco Bell and McDonald's breakfast. That's what I miss.
My daughter, she's been sick for the last couple of days. And we were out last night and came home and I said, did you have anything to eat? And she said, yeah, I had Taco Bell. I said, did you drive to Taco Bell? No, I had Taco Bell delivered through some service. I go, what did it cost you to get two tacos delivered through? $12.
Probably Uber Eats that she used.
No, some other one. Not
DoorDash?
Maybe.
Yeah, DoorDash.
Maybe DoorDash. And I was like, what? Well, I didn't just have a taco. I had something. But still, it would have cost her like $4 at Taco Bell. And
you
she paid
for convenience, Brian. Oh,
I guess. $12 for Taco Bell?
She was sick. Let her have what she wants.
I did. I didn't force her to, you know, get rid of it. I just shook my head and went, was it worth it? She
Sometimes
said yes.
If you have an appetite for something, you can't stop it.
I understand.
And if that sometimes is every day for a cheeseburger from McDonald's, you know you have a problem.
Yeah, really. Get yourself a cup of Big Mac sauce and just bring it. Well, now I know what to bring in tomorrow for Violetta. All right, we got to do this. Then we will come back, say goodbye, and it's Blackhawks hockey. All right, that is it for us. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back in for Ronana tomorrow. Violetta will be here, I'm sure. Kevin, you are off starting your holidays tomorrow, correct?
I am, Brian.
All right.
It was
well,
a
listen.
Fun show. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. We will see you sometime after the holidays. But Merry Christmas. Stay out of the fast food game.
I will.
For your own.
But I'll be eating other homemade goods and whatnot.
Oh, I can. So. Yeah. This is not the time. It's hard. It's hard.
Just forget. You know.
It's hard
like,
all
how
the
do you
time.
Eat healthy during the holidays. Don't eat health. Just stuff your face. That's about
right. And then kick it all back into gear.
Right.
Kick it into
Figure
gear
it
January 1st.
Yeah.
It's all moderation. That's the key.
Yeah. Or not. Just
or
eat
abstinence.
As much as you possibly can. That's my motto this time of year.
Very good. Get elastic pants and just go for it.
That's right.
That's all you need to
I'm
do.
With you.
All right, so I will be back. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Violetta. Thank you, Joe. We had a nice time today. And Rob Martier and Kim Gordon. So, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again tomorrow at 3. Very exciting now because we're about to head down to Dallas, Texas, where the Blackhawks are taking on the Dallas Stars. Blackhawks hockey on WGN.
The Blackhawks, the Wildcats, and Chicago's Conversation. Find them all right here on 720 WGN Chicago.